you mind telling me what this is all about?
Well, it's been a hard day poring over the sexual exploits of people much more famous than me. Because normally I only buy the Sunday Times, and that doesn't get into, you know, hot, panting action. But I had to look through the rabid tabs, and, oh, boy, they're absolutely full of it. I'm totally spent loose.
Did you do all the tabs?
Well, as many as I could stand, you know. They're under all the same. They're all, mad for Britney. Mm. Oops, she vid it again, they said. Don't video your sex life if you're famous. It will come back to bite you, so to speak. Especially if that's what you were doing in the first place. Oh, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And I've got it all in, hot dripping detail. Shall we get into it now?
Oh, go on.
Oh, look on your face.
What it seems so early to be getting into the hot, you know,
yeah,
sordid sex life of Britney Spears.
On a Sunday as well.
Oh, I know.
You've got something for me today. What is it?
I've got some energy tips for you. Well, seeing as we've been talking about saving the environment a lot, I thought you might like to know some handy hints for when you're cooking, showering, bathing.
What was that advert a long time ago? I think it was the first environmental advert, and it was some woman who pranced across the lawn and said something of the order of, so I can do my bit to protect the environment, like that. And I've been saying that in that way ever since, and now I've forgotten why I say it. Like, occasionally, I do sort of, I am my own, this machine.
Yeah.
No!
This, I carry this around in my head, and I do, like, I'm almost my own sound effects machine, so I'll say things in a certain way, like, hey, 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 and I don't know why I say them until I see it on television. I go, oh, that's why I do that.
But maybe what you need to do then is just do that, and you don't use the computer, and then you save a lot of energy without bringing the laptop in.
I'll be carbon neutral, yeah.
Although, a laptop is more energy efficient than using a normal computer, so that's one plus point.
Right. So we're ahead already. We've barely even started. Ian Lee's not here. I'm not Ian Lee. There's nothing I can do about that. And so for the next 3 hours, you'll have not Ian Lee. Ian Lee's back tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Where's he been?
Filming.
Filming?
This race thing on Sky.
A race thing?
Yeah, the race programme, the celebrity racing.
What's that, then?
It's celebrities racing.
The clue's in the title.
Yeah,
what are they racing on?
It's a week-long thing, and they're basically just racing different types of...
Is it Girls v
cars.
Boys?
Yeah.
Is it this, what's her name show?
Denise
Van Outen.
Newton. Yeah.
Is he on that?
Yeah, he's co-presenting.
Well, I had no idea. He's not got much publicity off that. Everywhere you look, it's Denise Van Outen. What about Ian?
I know, and he gets his own half-hour programme after the main one as well.
Huh. Oh, this is news to me. Why is this news to me?
I should have told you last week.
Yeah, you should have done.
You should have done all last night. You saved it until the last day.
Maybe you should have alerted the press.
I'm sure you can get it on YouTube.
Because I've seen Denise Van Outen's beaming mug coming out the papers at me, but nothing about Ian Lee. That doesn't seem fair at all, does it? Just because he's not got big boobs loose.
Maybe he hasn't got enough scandal around him.
Denise Van Outen doesn't have scandal, does she?
No, actually.
She went on stage.
She used to be professional.
Well, people thought that, because she did that breakfast thing on Channel 4 with Johnny Vaughan.
Mm.
And Johnny Vaughan was the new Chris Evans at the time, or so everybody was writing it up.
Yeah.
Know, because they were desperate for a new Chris Evans. Oh, please God, let there be another blip in the ratings, they thought, over at Channel 4. So they were throwing Johnny Vaughan at us. Turns out that was the best thing, that was the high point in his career. Poor bloke. He peaked early. Well, that format was perfect for him, wasn't it? He was doing, freeform on TV. He was doing a radio show on television. And at the time, I thought, this bloke should actually be on radio.
Did you?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. You should consider it sometime.
Just because you didn't want to see him on your television screen,
no,
though.
No, not at all. It's just that what he was doing was a radio... Because television is very nailed down. I know precious little about this, but what I do know is that if you make a decision about radio... Like, if I made a decision about what I wanted to talk about next, I'd just do it. and I wouldn't have to consult anyone, not even you, Luce. If I was on television, we'd have had to have a meeting 2 weeks ago with 50 people from the network, and we'd have all sat around, and then they would have had a meeting together, and they'd have drawn up bullet points, and they would have gone through, you know, producers, and it would have been a nightmare. You can't make stuff up in television and do it, because there's just so much... involved on, with dependent on you. You've got to go to the right lighting point and then come over here for your camera shot and then break for the ads at the right point and all that jazz. So it's not a, a make-it-up-on-the-spot medium. Unless you have something really weird like that Channel 4 breakfast show, which was highly structured, yes, but at some points, like when he used to read the newspapers at 8 o'clock in the morning, I used to think often that would be the funniest 5 minutes of television all day long, because that would be him just coming up with it, right? Which is what you do in radio. And I thought, you should definitely go on radio, mate.
One of these days.
Well, one of these days he will. Everyone should listen to me. Career advice. How did we get on to this? Oh, yeah, Denise Van Outen. So nobody was paying attention to Denise Van Outen. Everyone thought, oh, she's just the comedy dim bird who is just his foil. And then she upped sticks and went on stage, much to the merriment and mirth. We were all sniggering. Well, laughing out loud we were. On stage, an actress, we thought. She'll fall flat on her face. But apparently not. She was great.
What did she do to get onto stage? I know she trained when she was younger, but she actually did some reality programs.
What are you suggesting?
I didn't say that. But I think she did. Didn't she do a reality show or something?
Isn't she the product of stage school? I'm sure she is.
Yeah,
isn't
originally.
She one of these singing, dancing, you know, tykes?
Yeah. She is.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she did a show which highlighted this, which then got her the gig.
Because she went to do Chicago, didn't she?
That's right, yeah.
Mind you, everyone's done Chicago.
Claire Sweeney's done.
Every time you go on the tube, there's another soap star or X Factor loser is showing up in Chicago. Kind of makes it look like anyone could do it.
Well, I don't know, though. It's quite a hard gig to do, isn't it?
I'm sure it's one of the best things on. I mean, I saw it a couple of times, and it just, when you come out of the theatre, you just want to dance and sing and shoot your lover. In that order.
Oh, right. Sounds great.
That's a plot giveaway, by the way. Oh, well, never mind. I've done it now. Bambi's mother gets shot right in the end. Yeah. Oh, the film. It's one of the only musicals that I can think of where the film is worse than seeing it on stage. Because normally you go to see a musical, and I'm on the guest list of one of them, so I don't have to pay, because it's just way too much to actually pay, isn't it? 50 quid a seat. That's 120 quid before you've even sat down, with drinks and in and out. And often, when you go there, there's no in and out. Fortunately, Chicago is absolutely full of it, making it better value for money.
Good.
Where were we? Oh, yeah, Denise Van Outen. And so she's done particularly well. She went to America and, you know, much to everyone's amazement. Because if there's one thing we hate in this country, it's success. You're only allowed to be rich and successful if you were born that way. And then, as a nation, we're fervently doffing our cap and, God bless you, sir, and holding out our hands for, you know, a pittance. Feed the birds, penny a bag. But if we've actually made good, come up from a lower rank, if we don't know our place, if we've improved our station in life, we can't stand that. How dare we think? Isn't that right? So if you're
mostly,
Lord,
yes.
Sir, General, whatever the name is, son, and you inherited £100 million, then we'll take our jacket off so you can walk on it.
There is an exception.
What?
James Blunt.
What about him?
Well, he's been knocked, hasn't he? The posh boy who did quite well.
Yeah.
And then he's hated.
Quite right, too.
Yeah, but he's not hated for his music so much.
Yes, he is.
As the fact that he's posh.
And he's got a silly voice. I think that's...
Well,
if he had a normal voice, I don't think he'd be quite so universally hated.
Well, you can't make modern music and have a posh voice, because we like to think that we're not very class-conscious as a society anymore, but we absolutely flat-out are. And that's twinned with exactly what I was just saying. You can't raise your status. If you were born poor, there you must stay. How dare you even consider improving your lot? Unless, bizarrely, twin with what you just said, you become a rock star. We don't mind millionaire thicko rock stars, you know, buying up bits of Surrey.
Yeah.
They're all right, because they're, you know, a comical amusement to us.
And footballers.
Huh?
Or football, yes.
Yeah, I suppose that, I suppose they, yeah. People in the entertainment, it's a bit...
I think if they keep, if they kind of keep a hint of their working class roots as well, like, we still like them. Kind of like Sir Alan Sugar and people like that, you know, it's like, you're still a bit, yeah.
I think we find them rather comical, though.
But there's a respect for them.
But we can't wait for people in business to fail. I mean, everyone wants Alan Sugar to fail, don't they? Whereas people don't necessarily want Ozzy Osbourne to lose all of his money, because he's like a cartoon character, isn't he? But I don't think you're allowed to make modern music if you're posh. It's a working class thing. It's true.
Well, only working class are allowed to make music?
Yes.
Why?
Well, you're allowed to make classical music, of course, but you're not allowed to make rock
music. That's ridiculous.
You're not allowed to make pop music or rock music. It's true. Because all of the posh people in modern music, like that chap from Blur, what's his name?
Damon Albarn.
Yeah, he's like, right like that, and he talks like that. But he doesn't actually talk like that at all.
No.
Much more cultured than that.
Yeah.
And that's why everyone, well, one of the reasons, apart from his music, which is an excellent reason to hate him, it's so dull, that's why people don't like James Blunt, because he talks posh. In fact, I've never heard him speak, but this is what I hear all the time, that he's a posh bloke.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, you're not allowed to be posh if you record modern music.
But that shouldn't make any difference.
Well, we're a silly country, what can I say?
Yeah, but it's daft, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But
it
much of what
no
we do is
bearing
daft.
On the music.
No, quite.
I mean, if you don't like the music, that's fair enough. That's...
No, he should be judged on the things that he produces. And he's been judged and found guilty. This is LBC.
And now...
Welcome, bienvenue, welcome, come on in.
Hey, Graham.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, am I there already?
Yeah, it sounds like you.
My God, is that Nick?
Yes, sir.
Nick Abbott from GLR.
Yeah, as was, yeah.
No, I remember your first words on GLR.
Now, hang on, let me see if I can... my first words? Well, oh, it's probably really embarrassing.
Do you remember when BBC Radio London shut down?
Yeah,
GLR
yeah.
GLR sort of took over.
Yeah.
And you I think you played...
Wasn't Tony Blackburn doing the breakfast show just before?
Tony Blackburn, yes.
And people were really upset that they stopped him doing it, because he was, you know, quite rightly very popular.
Oh, he was, but he did mention little knuckle things at odd times of the morning.
Well, yes. You see, this is what I was talking about yesterday. You don't want to be first. Like, I was first really doing that kind of thing, and then Tony Blackburn also was, you know, kind of bringing...
You were first in quite a few things. I mean, you started GLR. I remember you played Sisters Doing Them For Themselves.
Yeah.
And then you said... Sounds like a couple of lesbians doing it. And I thought...
No, that's not what I said.
It was.
Well, I never said it sounds like a couple of lesbians doing it.
You started GLR by...
A lesbian?
No way I would have say something like that.
You said, sounds like a couple of lesbians doing it.
No, I definitely did not say that.
I'm sorry, I probably have it recorded somewhere, which is rather sad.
Well, you know what? This is very embarrassing, because who wants what you did 20 years ago or 30 years ago?
Well, 20 years. Well, it was.
Recorded and available for everyone to access at any time. But things that I did when I was, when I shouldn't even have been on the air are still available. They're just a click away. It's awful. It's all still up there. It's like having your diary on sale in W.H. Smith from when you were 12.
It's rather sad. I must say you've improved since then.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, mate.
I mean, your show now on this station is very good.
Oh, I won't lie to you. I'm fantastic, yeah.
I mean, can we just talk to one side for one moment? John Holmes, what is he about?
No, we can't talk to one side. We're on the air.
John Holmes?
Yeah, John Holmes.
What is he about?
I've got no idea what that means.
I mean, well...
But let's not go any further,
he's
eh?
It's meant to be funny, but why?
There's no stopping him.
Oh.
So, what's up with you, Graham?
Oh, well, I asked, I think it was one afternoon, about your theme music, you know, that jazz stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bum, 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 bum. Hey! Oh, yeah. And you said it was something to do with Liberace.
Liberace?
It's not.
What?
I've searched for it, but it's not Liberace at all.
Well, it is Liberace. I'm telling you it is.
Oh, right. What's it actually called?
How can you... Stunning.
Hello?
Comes on with this statement. It's not Liberace. How dare you deceive the public in this way?
Who is it, then?
And I say, yes, it is. Oh, right. Oh, well, there you are, then. Should have said.
Oh, who is it, please, mate?
I'm telling you, it's Liberace.
Oh.
Librace herself. Why, who did you think it was?
Well, I've searched for him on a friend of mine called Donbo that I...
Oh, Donbo. Oh, yeah, we were all wondering what happened to him.
From, America, but he knows nothing about Liberace doing that piece.
Well, it's called Bumble Boogie, or...
Yeah, but Bumble Boogie, that's a totally different bit of music from you playing.
Right, okay, well, it's not Bumble Boogie then, but it's something along those lines. Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, or something.
Oh.
Did you get that? Look of stunned amazement in there. You weren't even listening, were you? What show are you listening to?
That was okay.
That was okay?
Yeah, that was okay.
You're allowed to say that?
You can get away with that.
Since when?
Since Steve Allen does.
Well, yeah, but what Steve Allen may or may not get away with is irrelevant. You're talking about me now.
Well, I think that's okay.
So, I can't believe that that's okay. I am stunned. Like this guy.
Well,
hey, are you still there, Graham?
Yeah, this is a great show.
How did you know that you could get away with that?
Well, I listened to Steve Allen's trailers.
Right, yes. You know, Steve Allen's trailers, when he's saying the BS word, they play on this... Last night it played on this show, and you know what? They'll fine me for playing his trailer. He'll say it, but I'll get fined.
What are you going to do, eh?
I know. You throw your hands up in the air. And it's like I was saying before, don't be first. It's like I was... I can't think of anybody who did that kind of... that kind of American-style radio before me. And when you're first, they kill you. It's like any... well, I hesitate to use the word revolutionary, but there's... because I wasn't. Because people have done it. I was just copying America, right? Now, loads of people copy America. Now, everyone wants to be Howard Stern. And they're making £160 million a year doing it. Me, scrabbling around in the dust for any spare change I can find.
It's only not bitter.
Yeah, that's right. So don't be first, be second.
All right. You take care now.
Ta-da.
Bye.
We could have got Graham to apologise for it. That would have been another...
Well, I dumped it so it didn't ever get in the air.
I know. Well, there we go. Everyone's happy.
I am amazed that you...
That really would... Yeah, you'd have been okay with that.
But that's one of the big words. That's the word begins with... I see, I can't even say the letter it begins with. You see how mild I've become?
You have. I know.
You are the man.
You looked very worried.
Well, yeah, you can't say that...
And you thought
that...
we weren't listening, but I had heard it.
Well, now I don't know where you'd draw the line.
Well, let's not test it.
Well, I never would, but I can't believe that you can say the SH word.
It's because of the one that came before it makes it a bit milder.
Milder? I think that would make it worse.
No. Well, anyway, let's not go over it. It's gone now.
Oh, I'm exhausted now.
Are you?
Anyway, and see, you were nervous about me doing Britney Spears.
Not anymore.
All right.
I'm very relaxed about it.
Go caution to the wind. She's drunk, ladies and gentlemen. Right, Britney Spears, superstar Britney Spears. And it seems to be there's a rash of celebrities who are breaking up with each other, which is the seventh heaven to the newspapers, because, you know, what with the end of the world and war on two fronts and the imminent terrorist threat and all of that stuff, there's nothing to write about. See, they've got nothing to write about. The paper's completely blank, and now Britney's broken up with Kevin, and suddenly the paper's full of it. You know, there's nothing else to write about. We're all going to die very soon from, you know, 186 different causes, all of which we can't do anything about, but they don't write about that at all. Tiny little thing on page two. They'll stick all the news on page two, because that's the page that you don't see in the sun. Yes, you know, they stick all the serious things on page two. No one ever sees page two.
No.
For a start, it's on the left-hand side.
Hmm.
And I don't know if they still do it, but it used to be more expensive to put an advert on the right-hand side of a newspaper as the left, because that's where your eye falls.
Yeah, I think that's still the case.
Right. So anything that's on the left-hand side of a newspaper, they think is less important than what's on the right. And, of course, you open page two, and your eye is naturally drawn to page three. Isn't it, Alex?
Yes, sir.
And they stick all the actual news in microscopic print, as brief as they can get away with, on page two. But then the rest of it is full of this stuff. Superstar Britney Spears was facing a mega divorce payout last night because she did it again and again and again on a honeymoon sex video. You think, you know, she went through, as I'll detail in a minute, the most complicated prenuptial agreement with this bloke. Like, it took, it's virtually a 6-foot-high stack of papers that he had to sign. And then she went and did a 4-hour sex tape and left the tape with him.
Yeah, that was just careless.
Yeah, really. dumped husband Kevin Federline because the prenup agreement means that he's only due something like £150,000.
Is that
something of that order? Yeah.
How long have they been married?
About 2 years.
Hmm.
And it's £150,000 for each 2 years that they're married.
I'll bet Macca wish he'd done that.
Yes. Can you believe that Britney is smarter than Paul McCartney?
It's sad, isn't it?
Dumped husband Kevin Federline has been touting the 4-hour tape for sale and has already been offered, guess how much? That's right, £26 million.
£26 million?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, he must be so pleased he's got that tape.
That's what it says here. Because you put it on the internet, I mean, how many people have seen hands up at the back, how many people have seen the Paris Hilton tape? Everyone in the whole wide world has paid to... And Lucy is looking at Alex, disproving
I'm guessing that Alex must have seen it, and Alex is just hiding his face down. I'd like to say I have not seen it.
Guilty. You'd like to say you've not seen
it. No, I said
what does
I
that
have
mean?
Not.
No, that's not what you said.
Did I not?
You said you'd like to say that you'd not seen
no,
it.
No, I have not seen it.
But that's not what you said, Luce.
I can guarantee I've not seen it.
Oh, don't worry, I'll send you the link.
Oh, no.
But people have paid to see this, right, apparently. I mean, it's on websites that
what's
are...
What's it, pay-per-view or something?
Yes.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Absolutely, yeah.
Have you seen it?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
It's hilarious, because it's in night vision, so it's green. It's green and grey, like
nice.
Those US Army... pictures from Iraq where they're attacking at night. It's like that.
But I bet you still watched it all anyway.
No comment.
A film company wants to make it available online to fans around the world. And more people, I think, would want to see a Britney Spears in the Naughty Naked than would Paris Hilton. Because who's Paris Hilton? She's just this...
Oh, I don't know. Do you think?
She's hideous. Well, people have bought Britney Spears. People have not bought... Paris Hilton. Nobody went out and bought her music or had a poster of Paris Hilton on the wall or watched her videos, because she didn't have any of that. She was just some dim, rich bint who had sex and it came... who had a family with a famous last name. And that's how she became famous. But see, Britney's already famous. So the money must be through the roof. I mean, imagine the people in the world. What was it, 4 billion? Something like that.
Hmm.
26 million is not that much. You'd make that up back in a weekend.
No way, would you?
Isn't the porn industry something like the third or the second biggest grossing industry in America? Isn't it something incredible
like that?
I think it's only beaten by drugs and steel.
It's still the most popular thing on the internet, isn't it?
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what drives modern technology. It's why VHS beat Betamax is because the American porn industry chose VHS over Betamax. You remember Betamax, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It was quality, wasn't it, Betamax? And I remember being one of the only kids at school whose dad had Betamax.
Right.
And it was stupid, because nobody else had it, so you couldn't ever swap videos. Very sad.
And whichever the porn industry goes with the high-definition thing, that's the one that will win. Blu-ray or HD DVD. I'm hoping it's Blu-ray, because it's just such a nicer word, isn't it? Who wants to be saying HD DVD all the time? It's just too much of a mouthful. Which is what Britney said, coincidentally.
If you're thinking of surrendering your endowment policy back to the life company, make sure you...
Boys?
Hello, Aid.
Hello, Nick. How are you doing?
I am all right, mate.
Oh, that was cool. I wasn't exactly ready for you.
Do you want, shall we put you on hold?
No, I'm with you now, I think.
Righto.
Yeah. Let me just get away from all the noise. So, I want to talk about this, this your car office. You ever looked at different car offers?
Right. A car, like, £5,000, O-N-O.
Oh, no!
That sort of thing.
Yeah, well, dealerships. I mean, ashamedly, I was looking at the Fifth Gear website, yeah. Don't know why.
The Fifth Gear website?
Yeah, you know, you just, sort of...
It's a low-rent version of Top Gear, isn't it?
Yeah.
They've spent almost nothing at all on that programme, and it really looks like it. See, the thing with Top Gear is, in spite of, not because of, Hamster, what's his name?
Richard Hammond.
Richard Hammond, yeah. Not because of him, but in spite of him, it's actually a superb programme for two reasons, really. First of all, it's shot beautifully. It's filmed like an advert. You know, whoever the director is doing a tremendous job. And the second reason it's is entertaining is because of Jeremy Clarkson, who is funny. Richard Hammond, on the other hand, isn't. Yeah. There's just nothing there. He's just one of these paper-thin hosts who you could stick him in front of anything. He could be doing a holiday programme or one of those silly things on Sky One or... You know, there's just nothing there for me.
No.
But because he almost died, suddenly he's, you know, a saint walking among us. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, mine's all about Top Gear. I thought that getting tickets for that, you can watch it.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently it has to be 50-50 split between men and women when you take groups of men.
Really?
Yeah. That's totally put the kibosh on that for me.
Well, you couldn't get a date. You could take your mermaid.
Can you imagine that, asking somebody out, what we're doing, that we're going to a restaurant? Oh, no, we're going to watch Top Gear recording.
Isn't that weird? You can't go if it's just blokes. You have to take, your party has to have as many women as men. Women don't watch Top Gear. Hey, Lucy, do women watch Top Gear?
No, not really,
right?
No,
definitely not. Women aren't interested in cars. Only to go to the shops and back. They don't care what they're in, right?
That's true.
I'll watch the next... I've never really put the notice of the audience, to be honest. That's not really what you're looking at.
No, it's not,
but, I mean, I will make a point when it comes back of, checking it out.
Are you sure you didn't apply to go on Top of the Pops or something?
I'll be lucky because it's finished.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Top of the Pops is finished, but yeah, let's call something Top of the Pops too. So they've been calling it, so it's not really finished at all, has it?
Is Top of the Pops 2 still on?
It came back a few weeks ago, apparently, and it's on a Saturday night, I think. So...
Right, well, it's a brand, isn't it? They'd be foolish to leave it alone.
And we're going to do Christmas specials, so it's not really died at all.
The Top of the Pops Christmas special. Oh, God, I wonder what that's going to consist of. Slade, Wizard... Jonah, Louie, all of these people that live their entire lives in absolute luxury just because they got one song that comes around every year, like a metronome.
Yeah. Yes, by the way, this offer, there's like a special offer on this Fifth Gear website. And one car company, it sounds really like a joke, but it says if you go in with one baby, if you've had a baby, they'll give you £500 off your car.
What?
£500 if you've had a baby. And it goes for 20.
What? You had sex, well done. That sort of thing.
Well, if it goes up to five, if you had two, you get 1,000 and so on. If you've got five at once, they give you the car for free.
I'm a little confused. So, the offer is if you go into the dealership with a baby,
you get money off your car. Or
they give you 500 quid off the car.
Yeah, and if you go in with five, you get it for free.
And if you're shooting blanks, then you have to pay the list price. Isn't that awful?
Well, it's just, I've never had a brand new car, but it's usually, you know, a CD player or,
yes.
You know, you buy a car, it will give you 3 years free servicing. Or,
yeah, and they give that to you because you asked for it, because you struck a deal, not because you're fertile.
Yeah, I've never been in a position to buy a brand spanking. Oh, I shouldn't play safe spanking on this kind of thing.
I think you'd have to be off your mind to buy a new car. Why would you buy a new car? There's no point to it.
Certainly, I mean, 3 years old is probably about the rate to go, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, my car's held together by gaffer tape.
Yeah.
Gaffer tape and rust, about the only thing that's holding my car together. And I think yours is about the same. I park near your car, Alex. If it falls apart on my car, I'm going to sue you into a black hole in space.
Don't be dissing my ride, yo.
I'm off of mine remapped on Wednesday.
What's that?
It sort of gives you more power and more torque.
What's the point of that? You're crawling along in this country at 5 miles an hour in between one red light and the other.
I live in the country, you are. You know... You've got all the country lanes to play with.
You know, pretty soon you won't have country lanes to play with, because I know that they're mad keen about cameras now, and the reason that they're doing that is for our safety, isn't it?
No!
No, it's in order to raise money. And I said this a little while ago, and it's becoming ever nearer. When you get your car licensed, they will put a chip in that little piece of paper, or they will insist that you bring the car in and they'll chip your car, which will then be read from space. And so every time, every single time you go over the speed limit, you will be automatically fined.
That'll be the way to get everybody off the road, won't it?
Well, that seems to be the plan.
Staying at 30, especially there with Camry, you might, you know, you're going to crash.
I find that it's actually more dangerous. I mean, all these incessant rules that they keep putting upon us are actually making it more dangerous. So, what about you? Whenever I'm in a built-up area, which is where most of these speed cameras are,
yeah.
I'm looking at the speedo more than the road, because you have to. I mean, who knows what the difference between 30 and 35 is when you're actually driving along?
Nobody.
And it's the difference, you know, in a 1 mile stretch between having a car and losing your license, isn't it? It's absolutely insane. So most of the time you spent looking at your speedo. In other words, not looking for the child that's running after a football that's you're going to have bashing off the front of your car.
Well, I mean, the car manufacturers are going to have to... I think I heard talk about this a while ago, but I don't think it ever happened. If they're going to do that chipping thing and fine you, the car manufacturers are going to come back with a way to stop you actually straying over. You know what I mean? When your car gets to... Yeah, so your car knows what speed you're doing, so you don't actually break the speed limit.
No, well, that was a suggestion that the government was going to do that. The car manufacturers won't do that, because we won't, as public, choose to buy a car like that. But if the government does that...
But if you're going to get banned off the road anyway, you'd want it, wouldn't you? You know what I mean?
Well, the government had suggested that they're going to chip your engine so that you won't actually be physically able to exceed the speed limit, but they won't do that, because that would mean that they won't be able to fine you for exceeding the speed limit. So they definitely won't do that. The car manufacturers won't do that. They will just tempt you with it and fine you and find ways to fine you more successfully.
Yeah.
That's the future of driving the car in this country. It does, you know, in a few years' time, people will think back with rose-tinted glasses and say things like "I was grand when I was a lad."
Why would it feel like that?
Because the fun has gone out of it, hasn't it? You know, in Holland.
That life, isn't it, really?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that sounds depressing, but it's true.
In Holland, this is quite interesting. Most traffic lights should be torn up as they make roads less safe. one of Europe's leading road engineers, said yesterday. Traffic lights. So that's traffic lights and all that street furniture. And if you go around, this is something we don't really notice, but if you're driving around or you're just walking around, look at the state of the street. Look at how our streets look. And it's hideous.
Yeah.
Because there's all these signs, this blizzard of finger wagging and pointing, saying don't do this and you can't do that and don't turn left and don't turn right, no U-turn and you can't park here, and on it goes. It's just like, it's like being outside the headmaster's office, constantly like that naughty step woman wagging her finger in your face all the time. That's what that's what it seems to be like now to be a British citizen, constantly having Nana wag her finger in your face. Whereas in other more enlightened countries, which, by the way, like Holland, for instance, with its...
cars in Holland, don't they all ride bicycles?
Yes, they do. Crossing the road in Holland is almost impossible, particularly in Amsterdam, because there's 86 different methods of death. Right here, it's cars, one way and the other. There, they've got a lane for bikes, which you don't expect, because they're silent, and there's so many of them, and we're not used to it. And then once you traverse that, then there's cars, and then there's buses, and then entire buildings moving towards you silently until you hear the bell. Trams.
How
Holland is still populated with people, I've got no idea. Because if it was like that here, everyone would be dead. Crossing the road, it's an impossibility in Holland.
Green Cross Cove wouldn't really work then. They're not going to have the Green Cross Cove banks. He'd probably die.
But in but over there, they are ripping up all of this junk that we spray our streets with. With the result that deaths have gone down on the road, not up. They've removed the speed limit signs, and they've removed the traffic light signs, and the red box junctions, and you can't park here, and all. So it all looks like pedestrianised areas where cars can go. And the result is, once you stop telling people, don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do the other, they actually become more responsible citizens and drive more slowly and look out for pedestrians more. And so people get killed less and everyone's happier. And because there's fewer traffic lights, cars they move more smoothly. You know, coming here, there's a big roundabout near Shepherd's Bush. Huge thing.
Yeah, what is it? Roundabouts are everywhere, especially around near where I live. There's a roundabout everywhere. That's it. You know, roundabout, many roundabouts.
And they have traffic lights which stop the car, which will stop the traffic going up the north-south road that comes onto that huge roundabout. People who drive along West London will know what I'm talking about.
The West Way.
Not the West Way. The north-south road that goes towards Shepherd's Bush roundabout. Anyway, coming here, always stuck on that road because there's traffic lights that let you in and off that giant roundabout. When they were broken,
they worked better.
The other week, there was no queue onto that roundabout. Everyone was, being courteous to other cars, and we were merging. We weren't doing it because you were being told to go and stop. We were just, acting like responsible adults without the government, wagging its finger in our face. Acting like grown-ups, you know. If you treat people like children, then they'll act like children. And if you, as a driver, you'll know, and it's almost impossible to resist this urge, that if you're stuck in a traffic jam, once the light goes green, you've got a little bit of road ahead of you. You slam your foot onto the pedal, don't you?
Yeah.
And you charge ahead, even if it's just for 100 yards. It makes you feel better. It's true. And that's when everybody starts killing people. So, the way that we're treated like children, it's not helping. It's actually hindering. And you could say that about everything else in society. You know, we're the drunkest, heaviest drug taking, have sex earlier, we're the fattest, the laziest. We're number one in every bad respect in the whole of Europe. And it's because, it's not because the government's, is lax. It's, the government's giving out the message that you can eat a donut while you're smoking dope and having sex, at the age of 12. It's not saying that. It's saying completely the opposite. Much more so than any other country, with the result that we go insane. Because we're like as a nation, we're like a teenager who's just been told to go and clean his room, and that's the last thing he's going to do.
I must have had a very sheltered life.
He's going to go and smoke crack and listen to Motorhead. Anyway, Aid, you're walking us down a very unpleasant route. It's Sunday. What are you, out of your mind?
I'm happy because I'm off now.
Off?
Off. I'm off work. I'm happy. It's Sunday.
Right, well, it'll be Monday very soon.
Yeah. Are you having it off this week? Or are you? Oh, really?
Thanks a lot, Aid. Ta-ta. This is LBC 97.3.
I took the inside track.
I took the inside
idea to get someone else's opinion.
Hey, Mandy.
Hi, Nick.
Mandy.
Hi, cutie. How are you?
I am all right. How are you?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Super. Glad to hear it.
I watch Top Gear.
Do you?
I love it.
Why, because of Hammond?
No, I like Jeremy Clarkson.
You must be the only woman in the country that likes Jeremy Clarkson.
I think he's very funny.
He is very funny.
I like Jeremy Clarkson. I like all the weirdies. I like Gordon Ramsay.
Well, there I had to draw the line. What do you like about Gordon Ramsay?
He's so rude and funny.
Is he funny?
Yeah, I think so.
Because that seems to be... he's painted himself into a corner now. He has... That's his act. His act is swearing. And it comes out... Well, it doesn't look real to me. It looks like he's just... Oh, he's looking at his watch. Oh, I haven't sworn in about a minute and a half. I'll have to throw in a few bleeps here.
Yeah. No, but I prefer Jeremy Clarkson. I think he's so funny.
He is.
And clever. And I like the bit... I don't know if they do it, because I haven't seen it recently, but when they put the famous people into the cars and they have to drive around the track and they have a top 10 of who came top.
Yeah.
Know the bit I'm talking about?
Of course.
I love that. I think it's great. I'd love to have a go.
Well, yeah, wouldn't we all? Yeah, we'd all like to do fantastically well.
I couldn't do it, because I don't drive gears. I've only passed an automatic.
I won't drive a manual car. It's like, what is the point?
I don't.
Because it's stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. People say... usually young men. Oh, no, you've got to have a manual because, it's, you know, it's more control.
Go faster, isn't it?
For control for what? 5 miles an hour between one red light and the next.
I've never passed my test on automatic. On manual.
With a manual car, you might arrive at your destination a full 10 seconds earlier.
Really?
What's the point?
I don't know, but with the traffic, I can't see the point.
Literally. All the fun has been sucked out of travelling.
Is yours automatic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't buy anything else.
No, there's no point. I mean, even Clive Bull's now given in and he's bought an automatic.
What's he got?
I don't know, he doesn't say. He doesn't say. He's a bit secretive.
I thought he gave of himself.
He's got better.
Got better?
You can now ask him how he is and he tells you. And he discusses his family a bit more. He's lovely. I like everybody on LBC.
Except for...
I'm not going to say who. But I'm very glad you're on tonight. Oh. I never listen on a Sunday.
Well, you should definitely give it a go.
What?
Ian, I'm a fan.
On a Sunday?
Well, you could tape it on a Sunday and listen to it on a Monday.
No, it doesn't amuse me. Because the morons that ring up.
Oh, yeah, the morons, I remember, yeah.
You know, I like proper conversation to listen to when I'm drifting off.
Right.
I like talking to you.
So, what have you been up to then, Mandy?
Job hunting, as usual.
I thought you had a job.
Yes, but, yeah, you can't take that job seriously, Nick.
No, not the panting job, because, this nice lady here does panting for a living, or at least she used to.
I still do.
Oh, right. I thought you'd gone into a more legitimate business.
I'm trying very hard.
She does business for a living, so to speak, on the phone.
I don't do it. I pretend.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very busy today and yesterday.
That must be just so bizarre. I can't even begin to imagine. Okay. So you're sitting there in the kitchen.
No. I always lay on the couch, watch Sky News, or have Sky News on, or some sport, cricket, tennis, whatever's on. And I lay there.
What, you're mouthing romantic and sleazier things to your to your callers, and you're watching Sky News
or any sport. Yeah, yeah. I can't have the radio. I do have the radio on, but only on the very lowest.
How can you concentrate on sexual shenanigans?
It's called multitasking.
When you're watching Sky News.
It's multitasking.
I can't think of anything that would put me off more quickly.
Sky News, they write it all up at the bottom, don't they? So I don't have the volume on.
Right. Well, that's... yeah, even so. It's just it's recent violent deaths in your area.
Yeah, but I don't concentrate on it, but I have to do it at the moment. I have to make a living. And today, when they did the 2 minute silence, the phone rang and I wouldn't talk.
So you picked the phone up?
Yeah.
And said nothing?
Hello. And they said, is that Lucy? Because that's my name on there. And I
She's called Lucy.
Sorry, Lucy. yes. I said, but can we keep quiet for 2 minutes, please? There's a 2 minute silence coming up.
Well, there was no complaint because they're paying for that, right?
He hung up.
Well, quite right, too.
Yeah.
But at least you did your bit, Mandy.
Yeah. I wanted to do it. I just watched my football team get stuffed today.
I forgot the 2 minute silence today, but I can't remember what I was doing.
What
I was probably asleep. But I did it yesterday. And there's something about. I had to watch television, even though there was nothing really on, in order to experience the silence. Does that make sense?
When? Yesterday?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I think that's fine. I mean, you're not going to be walking around your flat and just stand there silent.
Yeah, and I had to organise going and getting the paper so that I was in front of the TV at 11 o'clock in order to be silent. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Totally.
So I had to nip out of the shops before 11 so that I was back in time in order to be quiet for 2 minutes.
Because otherwise you're just going to be standing there like a lemon.
Yeah. Well, I didn't... You have to... There's just something about the shared experience...
Did you stand up?
That's, no. That's much more... It's a more of a shared experience if you're sitting there on your own watching television. That's insane. Rather than, you know, walking around... Because I just knew that if I went to the shopping centre to pick up a paper or go to the post office or something, there'd be some oik who wouldn't respect the silence.
I know.
And you'd want to kill them.
Yeah.
On Remembrance Day.
Yeah, but I guess, which has happened today, sadly. I heard it on LBC today as well, the 2 minute silence. Not that you can hear silence,
well,
but you know what I
mean. And how was it?
It was silent.
Silent, yeah. Well, it would be.
Yes, Carol did it.
Carol? Carol was silent for 2 minutes?
2 whole minutes!
That's got to be a world first.
What?
Yes. After telling us, this is so funny, how the last couple of days she'd been puking. And I thought, this is not what I want to hear this morning.
Puking?
Yeah, she's had a bug.
Oh, yeah.
Booze?
Something like that, was it?
No, she said it wasn't booze. She said it wasn't. She was ill.
Yeah, ill.
Booze!
You should do another show with her one.
Yes, I would love to.
Just a one-off, over Christmas or something.
Oh, a Christmas special?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something to think about.
That would be great.
Hmm.
It would be absolutely great.
Well, no objections here.
Really?
I think, well, of course not, I'd love to do a show with her.
It's so funny. I've still got your last ever one that you did. I taped it on a cassette.
At LBC?
Yeah.
Right, because there was a different building, different management, whole thing, and it was a very enjoyable show to do. No thought is required when you do a show with Carol, because basically you just can't shut her up. A mass is like an express train. You come in, I would arrive, I think we used to start at 7, I would arrive at 7 while the news was on, and she'd be late, running in with bags of shopping. Yeah. Oh, hello! We'd sit down, having planned absolutely nothing at all.
Yeah.
And then we just gab at each other for a couple of hours. Yeah, very funny.
It was brilliant. And when it was the last show, I had to tape it for posterity. And I've still got it. And I just listen to it occasionally. And I still laugh with it.
Well, I'm sure it's up on the worldwide wait. Everything else I've ever done is.
Well, I did something today. I went on that, I can't remember what it's called, that website, My
Space.
Space. And I put my picture up, and then I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
I don't know. I think it's one of those things that's just going to fade away. I mean, you know, what would you do? I don't know.
I
don't get it. I think the blogs are another thing. It's going to be a short burst of activity, and then no one's ever going to be doing it again. And in 10 years' time, people are thinking, what were we thinking of? Wasting our time when we could have been watching television. But anyway, Mandy, I've got to go because we're past the break. All right.
Oh, okay.
Ta-da.
Lovely to talk to you.
This is LBC.
I'll go to test drive the new rate.
Oh, I'm caught unawares.
Hello?
Hello. Right, I haven't done this Britney thing. That's, it seems to have been going on. What have we talked about in this hour, exactly? Who's in there?
Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Hello, Nick.
How are you? Oh, that's not who I was expecting. I thought it was another Rob. Oh, Bob.
No, you thought that
right.
Was Bob.
Right. where am I? Shall Brittany. I do the, you know Borat's going to get sued? I talked about that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You don't listen to this show, do you? Sitting
yes.
there and I'm talking away, eating your little pink pig sweets.
No, they're fruit pastels tonight.
Right. No, Borat's going to get sued again, twice now. This is twice in 2 days. He's going to lose all the money that he made from that movie. And I was thinking about this. Don't you find it surprising that the Borat film is successful in America? I mean, that's just really the last thing you'd expect, because it's basically a film that's laughing at Americans. Because although the premise is that we're laughing at...
Kazakhstan.
Yes, that's yeah. not actually what they're doing, because he's getting Americans to open up, because he's even more right-wing than the people he's interviewing. And they're being emboldened by somebody saying all the things that they're not supposed to say.
Exactly.
And he's getting to be indiscreet. And so it's actually the laughing at Americans, which makes it weird that Americans would be going out and watching it in such great numbers. And I had a revelation. The Americans are going out, I'm sure, because it's laughing at Muslims. 60% of the population of Kazakhstan are Muslims. And what do you do when you're at war? So the mindset is, when we were in World War II, it was all cartoons of Hitler. And Hitler's only got one, you know. So I'm sure that's the reason they're going.
On FM.
On DAB.
And online. This is LBC 97.4.
At 11, Basra boat attack kills 4 British soldiers, Met try to trace missing sex offender, and 6 out of England squad for Holland friendly. It's 11 o'clock, I'm Tom Cheel. As London and the rest of the country commemorated Britain's war dead, 4 British servicemen were killed in an attack on a boat patrol in Basra. 3 more suffered serious injuries. They're being treated in hospital. The MOD says forces came under attack on the Shat Al Arab waterway. British military spokesman Captain Tane Dunlop, who's in Basra, says insurgents used an improvised explosive device.
There have been a variety of more lower-level attacks on some of the troops using the waterway. This is, to my knowledge, is the first time there's been a successful IED attack. So in that case, it is slightly unusual.
Elsewhere in Iraq, more than 40 people were killed in a series of bomb attacks across Baghdad. And Iraqi security forces say they found 75 dead bodies in the country. Meanwhile, news of the British soldiers' deaths came as Remembrance Sunday ceremonies took place to honour those killed in war. Thousands of veterans gathered in London, where the Queen and the Prime Minister laid wreaths at the cenotaph in Whitehall. Police investigating the shooting of a colleague in Wolverhampton have arrested a 25-year-old man. The 33-year-old constable was shot twice in the shoulder at close range last night. He remains in a serious condition in hospital after surgery. Police are trying to trace a sex offender who's been missing since April after attacking an 8-year-old boy in London. Kamil Kravich hasn't been seen since he was given a 10-month suspended prison term in April. The 26-year-old from Hackney pleaded guilty to sexually assaulting a youngster in the toilets of a restaurant where he worked. A teenager remains in hospital tonight after a gang attack on Edgware Road. The 19-year-old received serious head injuries after being assaulted by 5 men early this morning. Six players have withdrawn from the England team to face Holland in Wednesday's friendly in Amsterdam. They are Chris Kirkland, Charlton's Darren Bent, Gary Neville, Scott Parker.
So the Mail have been all over this Borat thing. So yesterday I said that Sacha Baron Cohen is being sued by a couple of students in America who they said he got drunk and then implied that the movie wasn't going to be shown in America, and then they said indiscreet things about, oh, I don't know, women and, you know, just all the usual things that he does. It made them look like fools, they said. And they were after an unspecified amount of money, which is, you know, usually of the order of $100 million, because they think big over there. Well, now he's being sued by Glod. Sacha Baron Cohen wanted a village to represent the impoverished Kazakh home of his character Borat, and he found the perfect place in a place called Glod, a remote mountain outpost with no sewage, no running water, and where the locals eke out meagre livings peddling scrap iron. And, the Mail have really got it in for him, because there's this big, long piece, and they kind of... It almost makes you not want to go and see the film, because you start to side with the residents of Glod, which means mud, apparently. The villagers of this tiny, close-knit community have angrily accused the comedian of exploiting them after discovering his new blockbuster film portrays them as a backward group of rapists, abortionists and prostitutes who happily engage in casual incest. Well, that's his thing, isn't it? That was his thing with Ali G as well. It's basically deceiving people into making fools of themselves, which we're happy to go along with in this country because we don't want to make a fuss. But in America, they're much more litigious, and it seems to have spread. They claim that the filmmakers lied to them about the true nature of the project, which they believed would be a documentary about their hardship rather than a comedy mocking their poverty and isolation. Villagers say they were paid £3 each for this humiliation, for a film that took £27 million at the box office in the first week of release. £3 each. That's off the scale low. I mean, normally when a film crew comes around, it's £1,000 a day. I know, because I've had them around.
Wouldn't £3 for them be a zillion pounds, though?
Well, yeah, but that's irrelevant. It's the film company that's paying. So it's £3 is £3 for the film company. It's not £1,000.
Somebody comes a lot of them.
Somebody comes and films in your house. If you had your house and you rented it out as a location, that's £1,000 a day. That's like the starting point.
Is that the sort of standard?
Yeah.
Fee. That's very good.
Because in my last place, I had quite a few crews come around and do their business.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Well, my last place was a set for footballers' wives.
Really?
Yeah.
And when they do it, are they allowed to redecorate everything?
Oh, they can do anything they want. Well, you know, they'll ask.
Yeah.
But they basically come over and completely take over. And if you're precious about it, or you have, you know, things that are breakable, then, well, you stop pulling your hair out. We had a glass staircase. A staircase completely made out of glass. And so they're trundling all this equipment up and down it. And you think you've got your head in your hands, because everything is heavy and comes in a flight case with these metal edges.
Oh, gosh,
and
yes.
They're stomping up and down in their boots. And you begin to think, is this worth it? But they put right anything that they damage. I mean, they offered to get us an entirely new carpet, because some woman from the makeup department left some heating curling tongs on the carpet, singed it, and they were going to replace the whole thing.
So did you take them up on it?
Well, no, I didn't think it was right.
You said, I'll take the money instead, thanks.
No, it was just required a bit of cleaning,
that's
all.
You don't want to cause a fuss.
Exactly.
I would have thought you would be the last person to...
Allow people to
ransack your home.
Well, yes.
So what do you do with all your things? Do you have to get rid of everything?
Well, they come up with they come with such a lot of equipment. I mean, it was there was quite a lot of space in there. Was, you know, it wasn't stuffed with things.
Yeah.
And they were quite sort of big rooms and so on. So you can just push it to one corner. But basically, they take over not just your flat, but the entire area. They take all of the parking spaces because they come with lorries. They take up half the street.
And what do your neighbours think?
Well, what can they do? You know, they send them a little note saying, hello, we're here. We're going to be here for a couple of days. Sorry about this, they say. If all the electricity entire area goes off, sorry about this, but we're sucking up all the juice. We're television people. You don't mind, do you?
And in the meantime, you're in a nice hotel, are you?
No, I was there watching the whole thing happen.
Oh, you know, I see. You don't have to...
I was curious.
But you could be put, you know, stay somewhere else, presumably.
I don't think they would put us up, but they, you know, they give you $1,000 a day. What do you want?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so I was my place was in that mad woman. If you watched Footballers' Wives,
I've seen a bit of it.
The dark skinned woman who went crazy, who's into Buddha and all that.
Yes,
ours was her flat.
Gosh.
Briefly.
Oh, there you go. Did it look like your flat when you saw it?
No. In fact, no. And it was only little bits of it. Completely pointless them doing it. Because we had another one in with Martin Shaw, who used to be in the Persuaders, Pretenders,
Oh, right.
Martin Shaw, that chap who did that police thing.
A detective programme?
Yeah, detective. It was like an updated version of The Sweeney. Oh, come on,
okay.
Alex, you must have seen this with the Scottish police chief who used to be an upstairs, downstairs, and the curly-haired one.
Not Taggart.
And the sort of mousy brown-haired one who couldn't act very well. And the curly-haired one was a Shakespearean actor.
Not a clip.
Oh, you must remember. There's hardly a more blokey TV programme since The Sweeney. It was an updated version of The Sweeney. The Persuaders, not Pretenders. It was a more 80s thing than that.
Mm.
You must recall, surely.
Nope.
Anyway, they did a P.D. James thing, and they came round, they gave us all this money, and they, you know, put these actors and actresses in, and they've dressed the thing, and it didn't look like our flat at all. They might as well have done it in a studio. So it's kind of really strange. All these people, they want to tell us what it is. Hang on, I'll take one. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, I think you're thinking about The Professionals.
The Professionals is the right answer. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, The Professionals was Martin Shaw, right? The dark-haired one. You remember now. You must remember this. Yeah. Is that a no?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a no.
Yes, it's a no. I don't watch that much TV.
I'm surrounded by people who don't watch television. I don't get it. Who are all you people who don't watch TV? What do you do?
We're busy, you know, cooking, cleaning, decorating.
You're not cleaning, are you, Alex?
No.
No.
I'm on MySpace.
So they come in and they take your... Because they get a location assistant... Come in, look your place over, and he says, oh, yeah, right, this is what we want. And we'll have someone come in and dress it one day, and we'll give you £1,000 for that. And then we'll come in and shoot in a couple of days, and then we'll have someone come and take it down. So it's like £4,000. Sure, why not?
Gosh.
All I have to do is sit here and watch you do it. But what they do is they come in and completely change your flat so that it's unrecognisable. So they might as well not have chosen your flat at all. They come in and say, yeah, this is the place, and then they... Change it utterly.
Just depends on the size, I suppose, and the lighting, maybe?
But they could do that in a studio, surely.
Yeah, but...
How do they find you in the first place? Do you register with someone?
Yeah, there's a couple of agencies that you can...
And can anyone do it?
Prostitute your flat on. Yeah.
I mean, but presumably, if you're... they might not like your place, then...
Well, did you watch Prime Suspect?
Yes.
Okay, well... Much of Prime Suspect was shot on a council estate, right?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure they did the same thing with the people who were on that council estate. They looked at the building, that fit the script. So then it doesn't have to be, a seven-bedroom mansion in Essex. It's just whatever is called for in the script. So no matter what kind of place you've got, there's often, you'll have...
There's some scope.
Yeah.
Ooh. That could be great.
Playboy TV came round.
Did they?
Yes, some woman was in my shower.
Oh.
I hope she scrubbed herself and turned the water off and then...
Yeah, did you say, please don't waste my water?
Oh, they were wasting water like it cost nothing. For hour upon endless hour she was pouring water down our drain.
And you said, a flannel's good enough for me.
Yeah, baby, that's great. That's great. Yeah, baby. And all that was drifting.
Did you watch it all?
Of course not. How can you do that? A little bit of privacy. They left behind a very nice towel.
Mm.
And £1,000. Thanks. Here's one in Elstree. Hello, Blanche.
Hi.
Blanche.
I can't beat that one. The most I got was £20 for the use of my drive in an advert.
You were ripped off, Blanche.
Now, I, quite seriously, I'm in a I seem to be in a minority of one. I thought Borat was disgusting.
But have you seen this? Have you seen this film?
Of course, I'd never remark on something I don't know or haven't seen.
I know
enough people do, but it's pointless.
Yeah, and you didn't like it.
I thought it was foul. I thought it was revolting. As a co-religionist, I thought it was an insult to my religion, and I think if I was someone from Kazakhstan, if I hadn't been anti-Semitic before, I'd be it now.
How come you went to Borat? Because you don't seem like the ideal demographic for that film.
No, I like to go and see what it's all about. Otherwise, who can I phone and who can I discuss it with? I hear enough people talking about books they haven't read, music they haven't heard, you know, but I always make a point of going.
But did you go, because it sounds like you went disapproving.
No, I went looking forward to enjoying it.
Right.
I went to have a good laugh, truthfully.
Did you like anything else that he's done, Ali G and such
I'm
like?
I'm not madly keen on him, but I'd read rave reports, and I thought, you know, anything for a laugh. And I went in, and quite frankly, after the first 5 minutes, which kicked off humorously, I then realised the whole thing was disgusting.
Oh. And were you...
treating a whole country dreadfully.
Yeah. Were you alone in that? Was everyone else honking their guts up in the cinema?
A few people were.
Right.
There weren't a lot of people in the cinema at the time. Because I go on my own and...
in the middle of the afternoon when it's cheap. Yeah, me too. When there's fewer people to irritate you.
I can sit back, relax. I was really looking forward to a laugh. And the truth is, I think he loves himself, Cohen. He just loves himself. I think he made the film for himself. He must be very surprised that it was that good.
I think
it was taken that way.
Yeah, I think that he must be surprised that it's been such a roaring success.
Yes,
I mean, they can't possibly have expected
it
that.
It struck me that he did the first 10 minutes, in all fairness, for everybody's amusement, and the rest of the film for his own. A lot of alternative comedians are like that.
Well, you have to have a giant ego in order to...
Don't you, Jeff?
In order to think that other people would find you funny.
And what an ego to insult an entire country.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, was it part of the Soviet Union?
Kazakhstan.
I think it was.
Well, it's one of those stands, so probably,
And if it was part of the Soviet Union, I'd like to remind him, especially today, that 18 million people died there. And it wasn't for him to have a laugh. And it wasn't for him to show Jews as cockroaches. And I think he should be absolutely ashamed of himself.
The backlash starts here, eh?
It seems to be only me.
No, I don't think it is only you, because it looks like he's looking at two lawsuits.
Good.
And it's only just opened.
Oh, I'm glad. I am really glad.
All right, well, thanks for the bad news, Blanche.
Okay, bye.
Ta-da. Yes. So, villagers say they were paid just £3 each for this humiliation, which is, it does sound like they were pretty much ripped off. Because, like I said, the going rate's a grand if you go into someone's house. And what he did in people's houses is, well, I'll get to that in a minute. They came in, they conned us into doing all these things, they never told us anything about what was going on, one of the villagers said. They made us look like primitives, like uncivilized savages. Now they're making millions, but have only paid us around £3. Cambridge-educated Baron Cohen filmed the opening scenes of the Borat movie in Glod, a village that's actually in Romania, rather than Kazakhstan, and whose name translates, like I said, as mud. Imagine calling your town mud. Welcome to mud. Its 1,000 residents live in dilapidated huts in the shadow of the Carpathian Mountains. Toilets are little more than sheltered holes in the ground, and horses and donkeys are the only source of transport. Just 4 villagers have permanent employment in nearby towns, while the rest live off what little welfare benefits they can get. So when a Hollywood film crew descended on a nearby rundown motel last September with their flashy cars and expensive equipment, locals thought their lowly community might finally be getting some of the investment it so desperately needs. The crew was led by a man villagers describe as nice and friendly, if a bit weird and ugly, in quotes, who they later learned was Baron Cohen. It's thought that the producers chose the region because the locals more closely resembled his comic creation than the genuine Kazakhs, which apparently is a more advanced, go-getting country. I know precious little about it, other than what I read on the internet today, is 60% are Muslims, which was my suggestion as to why Americans are going en masse in order to laugh at Muslims. You know, a little bit of release, right? The comedian, and I wonder if they actually thought about that before they did it. Whether they thought, you know, what would really go down in America, British comedy doesn't really make it over there, so what should we do to really get the American audience in? What would they really love to see right now, you know, in these times of trouble? And that's almost made for it, right?
Do you think it was that thought through?
Well, no, I'm asking the question.
It's an interesting one.
Because people don't make films, you know, on a whim, do they? Films cost a giant amount of money, you know.
Yeah.
Even something as looks as cheap as this must have cost, well, I've got no idea, but tens of millions of pounds. They don't just think it up and do it. They must have an identifiable market in mind.
Yeah.
You know, focus groups are involved and meet, you know, if you think that if TV has meetings, then the film industry it just must be endless. Because they have to get the film green-lighted and go through all these executives and on and on and on it goes. Because I'm sure he didn't spend his own money on this. It must have been 20th Century Foxes. And they don't just okay everything on a whim. They'd have had meetings for 6 months about this, I'm sure. And they would have picked their demographic market and, you know, it would have been nailed down. It's not stuff that they just make up. So maybe it was. Maybe if not... Maybe if he didn't think that, then I'm sure that it occurred to executives. How are we going to get British comedy to go down well in the States, which is, of course, the big market where everybody wants their product to succeed? What would they like to see more than anything?
How did Ali G go down in the States before?
No idea.
Because I didn't find that particularly funny. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
Did you find that funny?
Occasionally.
It was just a bit... I thought it was a bit crude, and I know that's part of his style.
Yeah, well, I don't think you want to watch this, then.
Really?
While the rest of the crew based themselves in the motel, Baron Cohen stayed in a hotel in a nearby ski resort, a world away from Glod's grinding poverty. I'm past a break, aren't I? All right, well, I'll have to do that, and then I'll come back and tell you the... because the male is actually digging a large hole for him and burying him. You don't feel very positively about Sacha Baron Cohen... at the end of this little story here. So I'll come back.
The home of entertaining conversation.
Hi, it's Cosmic Malcolm from Brixton. Yeah, I was going to read you out a poem. I was also listening to what you're saying, but...
Closet Malcolm?
Cosmic Malcolm.
Oh, Cosmic Malcolm.
Sorry, I'm still getting used to speaking over the radio.
Right. Cosmic Malcolm.
Yeah. Yeah, I read tarot cards and stuff, and...
groovy.
I'm also a writer... and so I call myself Cosmic Malcolm, and I'm...
Yowza.
Problem leaving the house and stuff. But I was going to read you out a little poem, I don't know.
Oh, poem?
Yeah. Yeah.
What, one of your own?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I can talk to you if you like.
A poem? No one writes poetry anymore, do they?
Well, I know it doesn't sell, obviously, but, I mean, I was into the music scene and I got messed around by musicians, and, I do think poetry is good, and because I'm into psychic stuff as well, I feel spirits are coming through me and actually giving me some of the words of the poems.
What, you mean you're just making it up?
Making it up, that's interesting. Well, it comes through me very quickly, yeah.
Right, so you're just, like, making it up, rather than spirits speaking to you from, you know, from beyond. It's just, like, making it up like everybody else, like that.
Well, no, it comes out automatically. The reason I think it's spirit is because I get some big words that I don't understand, and I have to look it up in a thesaurus or the dictionary.
Right, like what?
Just this, what I used to call posh words, because I wasn't very educated at school.
So, in other words, words that you just heard somewhere else that that you don't normally use in conversation, that just pop out.
Yeah. I could have picked them up psychologically.
Right. Rather than spirits telling you. Because that seems unlikely, doesn't it?
No, not really. I mean, I've had a lot of proof, you know.
Proof? Oh, well, he's got proof.
Well, I mean, I charge £25 for my tarot cards.
Do
you? Nobody's going to give you 25 quid for nothing, are they? It's a little bit of something.
No one's going to give you 25 quid for nothing.
Because some people charge a lot more than that.
Yeah. I went to a psychic fair in Oregon. I was surrounded by people who looked like they'd just stepped out of the Addams Family movie. And I went and asked around, who is the person that is the best around, I thought.
Yeah.
And, because I was on a 3-month trip around America, I was about 20. At the time I looked much younger than 20, I was like a baby face. And so I asked around, who's the absolute best person here? And everyone said, oh, you want to go and talk to this woman over here, she's great. So I sat down and said, how old are you? And I'm the skeptic. I said, well, you know, you tell me. And she said, 30, like already she'd lost me, like 10 years older than I actually was.
Yeah.
And she said, I sense that you've come from a long way over water. I've got an English accent and I'm in Oregon. So, I mean, this is not a stretch really, is it? And she said, yes, you're going to be married very shortly and have 2 children. Right. 20 years later. So yeah, not really worth it. I think I gave her, it was $5 at the time, or 10, whatever it was, and that was for nothing.
Right.
I retain my scepticism, Malcolm. You don't mind if I do that, do you?
No.
Of course not.
No, I hope you don't. You are a bit like Nick Ferrari, though. Clive Ball. You are a bit like Clive Ball.
In what sense?
Well, that's okay. No, but Clive admits his something, but you don't know what it is, but he doesn't think. Like, you do sound sceptical. I'm trying to sort of,
In the sense that I don't believe a word you're saying. I mean, I believe that you believe it, but I don't believe.
But I know what I've seen. You know, I'm not trying to be, but I do know what I've seen.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been told things by mediums, like, because I thought I don't go to the spiritualist churches, you know, because I'm a fortune teller, you know, I'm original. But I've started to go to these spiritualist churches since I got older. And they've told me things about, you know, my my dad who's died, and they didn't know about it.
Right, well, he used to wear a hat, did he? That's that sort of thing. Anyway, listen, Malcolm, this is going to start, this will be an attack shortly. You got a poem. Is it a very, very short poem?
It's three choruses or
sentences. Three.
Paragraphs, whatever you call it.
Perhaps you could just give us your philosophy on life.
My philosophy on life is to have an open mind, you know, and try to love everybody, get on with everybody, you know, but still have an open mind, you know.
Right, well, you can't pick a hole in that. Thanks a lot, Malcolm. The best of luck with your poetry, all right?
Yeah, okay, Nick.
Ta-ta.
Nice to talk to you, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ha-ha. It's not... I should have told him to call on Friday. Friday, he'd have been more comfortable on Friday.
Absolutely.
Not Sunday, because I'm sure Ian wouldn't entertain that either.
Probably not.
No.
At a guess.
So not Sunday, not Saturday, Friday, be amongst friends.
That's correct. Friday is the psychic show.
Yeah, you do that show.
I do.
Enjoyable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you been read?
No, not really.
Is that a yes?
Well, we had a palm reader in who tried to read me, and
right. She said, "Hold out your hand," and you said,
"Don't touch me. I'll kill you."
It was a he who read my palm, but right. It wasn't quite accurate.
No.
For me. Apart from the bit that he said I was always destined to work in the media.
Right.
Yeah, by the way, I waved.
And you've been miserable ever since.
The last train to Hemel Hempstead.
How are you?
So, back to Kazakhstan, or a town called Mud. It doesn't make you very think very positively about Sacha Baron Cohen, this, but then it's in the Daily Mail, and they, you know, they take pleasure in ripping everyone, really, don't they?
They're probably not as big as fans.
No. only when the Mail on Sunday visited this deeply religious grandfather who lost his arm in an accident, he feels that he was one of the most humiliated. For one scene, a rubber sex toy in the shape of a fist was attached to the stump of his missing arm, but he had no idea what it was. Lucy's appalled. Only when the Mail on Sunday visited him did he find out. He said he was ashamed, confessing that he only agreed to be filmed because he hoped to top up his £70 a month salary, although in the end he was paid just £3. Visibly disturbed, he said shakily, "Someone from the council said these Americans need a man with no arm for some scenes." I said yes, but I never imagined the whole country or even the whole world will see me in the cinemas ridiculed in this way. This is disgusting. I kind of wish that I hadn't read any of this before I went to see the film, because then I won't be able to enjoy it that much. "Our region is poor," he said, "and everyone is trying hard to get out of this misery. It's outrageous to exploit people's misfortune like this, to laugh at them. This is all a precursor to a lawsuit. We're now coming together and we'll try and hire a lawyer and take legal action for being cheated and exploited. We're simple folk and we don't know anything about these things, but I have faith in God and justice." If the village does sue the filmmakers, they won't be the first. Last week, two unnamed college students, who I was mentioning yesterday, were caught on film drunkenly making racist and sexist comments, and they're taking legal action, claiming the production team got them drunk and falsely promised the footage would never be seen in America. Many other unwitting victims of Baron Cohen's pranks have also spoken out against the way they were conned, and, unsurprisingly, the rulers of Kazakhstan have long taken issue with the image that Borat paints of their vast, oil-rich nation. I'm a bit surprised that that Ali G was even shown in America. I'm a bit surprised he took that character to America, because, like I said, British people won't make a fuss if you make a fool of them. That's, you know, they certainly won't sue you, because we're not that kind of a nation yet. Getting more like that, but not yet. Dom Jolly is another one, because he went to America, but only for this country, didn't he? And that was, his act was like, kind of picking on old people in parks, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, threatening them.
What? He's gone very quiet, though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Now. When was he last in the limelight, really?
Every now and again, you'll see he does a travel piece in one of the papers. He'll go to
really?
A travel writer of some kind now, I
really?
Think.
Really? A serious travel writer? It's not jokey.
No, it is jokey.
Oh, right.
I don't know whether he's actually a travel writer or whether they're just saying, "Oh, you're famous, why don't you do us a piece?"
Oh. One of those.
Yeah. Which would be nice.
Wouldn't it?
Many other unwitting victims of Baron Cohen's pranks have also spoken against the way they were conned. The Mail on Sunday showed them the cinema trailer, the first footage they'd seen from the film. Many were on the brink of tears as they saw how they were portrayed. This woman who lives with her extended family in the house next to the one that served as Borat's home said, "We now realise they only came here because we're poorer than anyone else in this village." See, it all sounds a bit grubby, really, doesn't it? A bit, there's a streak of nastiness here.
It doesn't sound terribly humorous at all.
They never told us what they were doing, but took advantage of our misfortune and poverty. They made us look like savages. Why would anyone do that? She said. Her brother-in-law owns the house that stood in for Borat's, which the filmmakers adorned by bringing a live cow into his living room. Luca, who now refers to Baron Cohen as the ugly, tall, mustachioed American man, even though the 35-year-old comedian is British, said, "They paid my family £30 for 4 full days." £30 for 4 days!
Oh, that is a bit...
That's
tight,
four grand in proper money, really. It should have been.
Yeah.
So that really is taking advantage,
yeah, that is.
Yeah. £30. They were nice and friendly, but we couldn't understand a single word they were saying. It was very unfortunate at the end, and there was animal manure all over our home. We endured it because we are poor and badly needed the money, but now we realise we were cheated and taken advantage of in the worst way. So they brought a cow into their living room, which then did cow product all over their house, and then they gave them £30 for their trouble. So it says in the Daily Mail.
I can't believe that the company would only give them £30, though, can you?
Yeah.
That little?
Absolutely. Well, it's supply and demand, I suppose, isn't it? I mean, if they're happy with £30, then they're not going to offer £4,000, are they?
Yeah, but not even, like, £300,
well,
I mean...
Well, it does seem a bit mean, yeah.
You know.
All of those things they said about us in the film were terribly humiliating, they said. They said we drink horse urine and sleep with our own kin. You say it's comedy, but how can someone laugh at that? Lucy.
I wouldn't laugh.
You were laughing. A woman who played the, a guy who played the village mechanic and abortionist said, what I saw looks disgusting. Even if we are uneducated and poor, it's not fair that someone does this to us. He remembered wondering why the crew took an old broken car and turned it into a horse cart. He said that we all thought they were a bit crazy, but now it seems that they wanted to show that it's us that drive around in carts like that. The village is populated mainly by gypsies, who say they are discriminated against by the rest of the country. Indeed, when the local vice mayor was asked whether the people felt offended by Baron Cohen's film, he said they got paid, so I'm sure they're happy. He said the gypsies will even kill their own father for money. Nice. No one from 20th Century Fox was available for comment, surprisingly. The feelings in Glod are running so high that the Mail on Sunday saw angry villagers brandishing farm implements to chase out a local TV crew, saying that they'd had enough of being exploited. It's small comfort that few, if any of them, will get to see the film. Not a single villager we spoke to had ever been able to afford a trip to the nearest cinema 20 miles away. Perhaps that's why the filmmakers chose Glod in the first place, says the Daily Mail. Here is Robert in the Rhondda.
Hello there. Now, I wasn't going to call you until the Christmas special, I thought. I thought I'd have a break. But I saw a programme on TV now, and I just wanted to vomit. So I take out my anger on here.
The planet Earth?
No. Celebrity Scissorhands.
Celebrity Scissorhands?
What do you think that could be? It's a BBC production, so we're paying.
Oh, no. Not even on Sky. Scissorhands. Well, it must be celebrities learning how to cut people's hair.
Yes!
Oh, no.
Cutting hair. I just saw some woman, I don't know who she was, painting a naked man black.
Why?
I don't know. They had the sound down. Looked rather revolting. I thought it was some guy in S&M gear for a while, and she was doing something to him, but no. She painted his legs.
Black?
Black. She painted his whole body black, and... This guy's not thin or relatively attractive. He's obese.
So it needed a lot of paint. Right.
And then they got, yeah, people cutting hair, giving massages, and this is, what is it called? Celebrity Scissor Hands Uncut. It's on until 1:55 in the morning.
On the BBC?
Oh, yeah. It's the BBC 3, the uncut version, but BBC 1 or 2 do the, you know, like the Daily Bulletin.
Who are the celebrities?
Well, there's only three I recognise so far. Well, not reckon. The names come up. I recognise it'll be putting them too far, but Scott Mills, he's very good.
Scott Mills?
Yeah.
Who's that?
He presents Drive Time on Radio 1.
Oh, Wonderful Radio 1. Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I don't know who anybody is in this business anymore. I've got no clue who anyone is anymore. I mean, you used to be, you know, comfortably aware that Gary Davis was on following Simon Bates, and then it was Noel Edmonds, or, you know, you used to know who people were. I've got no idea who anybody is anymore. Who's Scott Mills?
Untalented DJ. No, he's very good.
Right, well, he must be.
I don't listen to him, so he must be very good. Darren Day...
Darren Day, yes. Love Rat Darren Day. I've heard about him, yeah.
He just went bankrupt, so...
What does he do again?
He was on I'm a Celebrity a couple of years ago.
Is he another one of these people that do...
Pantos.
What does he actually do, though, Darren Day? What does he...
Well, he's sort of actor.
Is he?
Stroke.
What's he been in?
Not very much.
Apart from his co-stars.
I think he's been in a soap. He was in a soap for a while, and then it's Panto, like Rob said, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Panto, you get paid a fortune for Panto. $20,000 or more.
Yeah, especially if you've been in the tabs.
And I mean, if you go to, like, I mean, I went to a local seaside resort yesterday, and it's not particularly nice, Corpus Call. And I was looking, the star there is some woman from Bad Girls. I'm thinking, you're going to endure this place for a month or two for $20,000. What are you doing, Nick? They'll take anyone.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I think the headliner is Steve Strange.
Steve Strange? What, on this TV programme?
Yeah.
He's the headline celebrity?
I think so.
Steve Strange?
Hmm.
Isn't he the guy that used to run a club that Boy George went to in the 80s?
He's one who had, like, one single, yeah. He started the New Romantics, didn't he?
Yeah, it was, like, a part of the New Romantic movement. Steve Strange, he's not a celebrity, he's just someone that you heard of 20 years ago.
They're hardly going to get David Beckham.
Or David Bowie, yeah.
Steve Strange, yeah, he had that Fade to Grey single. I think
no, Fade to Grey was it Ultravox?
No.
No, it doesn't sound right, does it?
Steve Strange.
Fade to Grey.
When he's all, and in his video, he's got, like, a painted face.
But it wasn't in the name of Steve Strange, was it? It must have been a part of another band, Fade to Grey, by, I want to say Ultravox, but that's not right, is it? Lucy's going to Google it.
Oh, good.
Slowly grinding into action.
Of course, all he does is, I watched a documentary a couple of weeks ago, he goes around big gay fest.
Visage, that's right, it's Visage, isn't it?
He goes around singing this song everywhere, for money.
Well, you know, it's, people have a hit, and they can live quite comfortably for the rest of their life on it. All you have to do is come up with one record. It's like I was saying yesterday, there's this guy... a black guy who wrote the worst song in the world, So Macho by Sinita, who now shows up as Simon Cowell's foil on those silly shows he does.
Plus, she's giving, she's having IVF treatment on this morning.
Oh, good. Well, that's nice. That's what you want to watch in breakfast time, isn't it?
With your milk.
But anyway, she had this hit with So Macho. This guy wrote it, and I read in the papers that he gets $10,000 a month in royalties from that song, the world's worst tune, which is also the world's gayest tune. And on top of that, he's now become a pastor or a vicar or some such thing and is preaching against the sins of homosexuality, still earning $10,000 a month from So Macho.
Is he
right.
Making the money? Or keeping it for his church?
I've got no idea. Did you hear about the communist woman who... Here's something to keep your eye on. Leader of Britain's Communist Party has become a multi-millionaire. The leader of Britain's Communist Party has just inherited £20 million. The huge windfall came when a painting that was stolen by the Nazis was returned to her family. She lives in Bow in East London and asked how she would spend the cash. The leader of Britain's Communist Party said... it's too early to call. Let's leave it at that. I bet that she distributes it evenly amongst her brothers and sisters. Don't you reckon? She probably won't keep any of it for herself. She will, you know, give it out amongst her other brethren. That's almost certainly what she'll do. We'll keep her eye on that.
Yeah, it develops.
Yeah.
There was a documentary on a while back talking about Steve Strange, going back briefly, while I remember, catching up with all those stars of the 80s, music-wise, and see what happened to them. And it's rather depressing, actually. I think Boy George was the one that came up best. That him, Steve Strange, who lives with his mother now, and is, like, a recovering something or other, and Marilyn.
Is he still alive?
Hugely obese.
Marilyn?
Yes. Not Monroe.
Yeah, yeah, I know, I remember. I remember on Top of the Pops. It was really unpleasant. It's like, put some underwear on, mate. That's awful. My dad's choking on his crumpets.
But, yeah, it's, oh, shocking.
Awful.
If that's happened to these people. But anyway, we've got wonderful TV to look forward to this week, haven't we?
Well, I'm still stunned at what you told me at the beginning. The BBC, the British Broadcasting Company, mm-hmm. are putting on something on not just one, but two channels called Celebrity Scissorhands, and the biggest celebrity is someone called Steve Strange.
I think it was someone from dynasty, but I don't know who. You'll have to have a look it up on Google. I haven't got internet access back home.
But, and the idea is that they're training to be hairdressers.
You see them, yeah.
How can that be interesting? Come on!
In live, you know, what's going on now? Steve Strange is cutting a blonde woman's hair. That's it.
But doesn't this sound like something that would be on, oh, God, I don't know, QVC channel when it goes off the air at night? Or, or something like that. It's on BBC One?
Yep. I think it's helping BBC Three's output at the moment. And who's that? Oh, that's Scott Mills cutting a ginger guy's hair. Wonderful.
I mean, I don't know what to say. What can you say to that?
Give me money back.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what you should say. I'd like my money back, please. Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for Planet Earth on the other side, I think I'd be back down the post office asking to take back the my stamp.
Was it all the students pay their licence fee?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, right. just like we used to. Yeah, we're very certain about that, and we don't let it run over a day before we renew.
But
yeah.
Just in case you thought the BBC were not doing any good, Children Needs on a Friday. That's something to look forward to.
Oh God! Yeah, well, I'll make sure I'm out.
Yes. Right.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
I'll be coming out of Santa's sack at Christmas.
Rightio.
Toodle-pip.
Ta-ta. This is LBC.
Is romance just around the corner?
Survey about who's the laziest country in the whole wide world. Well, they stuck with Europe. And guess who it is? That's right. Us. It's amazing. We top the list of every bad thing that you can even think of.
What are we lazy at? Everything?
Or? Idle Britons do the least sport of almost any nation in Europe, a study shows. We exercise an average of 1.5 days a week. No, we don't. We don't even do that. Who exercises 1.5 days a week? I mean, it depends what they mean by exercise. Like getting off the couch and going to the fridge. Walking their wobbly bottom to the bus stop. Is that what they mean by exercise?
Well, walking does count, doesn't it?
Well, not really.
But you've got to walk fast and distance.
You've got to walk like those comical speed walkers. Is there a sillier looking sport? Because it's impossible to walk like that without...
It's an art form, though.
Without looking like your Max Wall.
Got to keep a foot on the ground at all times.
And your bum high up in the air. It's just comical to see them. You can't do it and look cool at the same time. Whereas running, if you're good at running, I mean, people usually aren't. They look like they're near death. Exactly right. There's no part of running that looks like fun. But speed walking is just... Well, it's just ridiculous. You can't take it seriously. So I don't think that
walk is good, though.
I don't think that walking actually helps. No, I think that they got the statistics wrong, because just recently they've always said, oh yes, a brisk walk for half an hour a day, that's all that you need. And I think that they just it was a journalist who read the medical information wrong.
Really?
As often happens.
Oh,
if you ever read in a newspaper about a new medical breakthrough, just discount it, because they almost certainly don't know what they're talking about, because medical professionals will release papers about whatever it is they've been studying, and it's written in such a way that ordinary mortals like you and me have got no idea what they're talking about. So they just take the headlines and then they print that. A great new breakthrough in the treatment of whatever it is has just been discovered. Whereas nothing of the kind has been discovered. They've just read it wrong because they don't understand the terminology. They think that what they're suggesting might happen is actually what they've just discovered. But it very rarely is. So never believe any medical breakthrough or advice that you read in the papers, because they've almost certainly got it wrong.
But walking must be good for you.
Well, it's better than just sitting there eating crisps.
But you could go for long walks, can't you?
Well, apparently it doesn't actually help that much. Yeah. You have to walk like speed walking. You have to raise your heart rate as though you were running.
Because when I did Weight Watchers, depending on how far you walk, you
Weight
can
Watchers.
Add on...
Can you believe this, Alex? I mean, what are you talking about?
It didn't last.
But you add on points depending on how much exercise you've done. So if you did, say, a 20-minute walk, you could give yourself an extra 2 points, say, for the day to stuff
right,
your face
okay.
with.
To be honest, this sounds so utterly ridiculous. You know, one of the reasons that we are so gigantically fat as a country is that everyone's obsessing about food all the time, whereas we didn't used to do that. We just ate when we were hungry and stopped when we were full. Now everyone's looking at instructions on the back of boxes and figuring out the fat content and can I have a biscuit now if I have if I only have a milkshake for lunch. And the only thing they're thinking about is food. Stop thinking about food, everybody. Just eat when you're hungry and stop when you're full. Get your bottom off the couch once in a while and just act like we used to do in the 50s. No one was fat in the 50s.
Okay, so what do we do when we get our bottom off the couch?
Go to the gym or, you know, just do something.
But that's so, sort of, such a stale thing to do, isn't it? Go to a gym.
Stale?
Well, it just feels so, it's not very, you know, you need a bit of fresh air, don't you?
Well, people who do an active thing for a living, people who are yomping over the glens, you know, on a grouse shoot, or who are constructing scaffolding, are usually not fat because they're actually doing, you know, because basically we have the same bodies and the same brains as we did when we were living in caves. This is the problem. If we wanted to eat, we used to have to go out and get it. We didn't do the weekly shop at a supermarket and then stick it in the cave and then just graze. We had to go out and get food as we were hungry. So constantly on the move we were. And consequently, because we have the same bodies as we did then, this grazing, this constantly eating, and this eating food that's packed with the kind of nutrition that we had to eat over several days to get, that's the problem.
But because we're so spoilt now, it feels like more of a chore to go and do exercise, doesn't it? That's the trouble. So if you... We don't have to do anything. Everything is there for us. So, therefore, it's much more difficult to motivate yourself to go and do some exercise.
In my experience, it's difficult to motivate yourself to go out initially. But once you've started, then it's more difficult to stop. You have to get going. And initially, that's the last thing you want to do. You want to wet your lips and sucker yourself to the fridge, right?
It's true. Especially with swimming, because you always end up smelling of chlorine.
But there's a certain sort of mental lightness, I'll put it like that. A kind of, you know, like a groovy 60s kind of
yowza
feeling that you get once you've had a good long swim. You're flying.
Yeah. Well, I think when you do any exercise afterwards, you just feel a bit better about yourself, don't you?
Yeah, it's the endorphins kicking in, and that's it's like a chemical reaction that you can get hooked on. And that's one of the better drugs to get hooked on.
Yeah, one I haven't embraced.
Want to score some pot?
So that's the problem, is that we used to have to run around just to stay alive, and now we can take the car and go to the supermarket, and we need never move. But we've got the same bodies now as we did then, and they're waiting for us to do something with it. Our bodies are wanting us to go out and run around and chase oxen and, you know, kill a little deer.
I don't know that my body is crying out for that, to be honest. I've never heard it say that.
You really
want to kill a deer.
You're just not listening hard enough. You've got to open your ears.
So what shall I buy?
In and out, love. I've just come to read the meter.
I suppose that's what constitutes exercise as well. People say, you know, I've had a little bit of that. And that's not exercise either, really. Because, so let's face it, it doesn't last very long. And you barely break a sweat. So they're saying that 1.5 days a week we have exercise. That's what the British population has said in response to this survey. And I don't even believe that. People don't exercise for 1.5 days a week. Do you exercise for 1.5 days a week?
No.
So, in other words, in a 2-week period, are you out there breaking a heavy sweat for 3 days in 2 weeks?
No.
I don't think anybody is. Hardly anybody at all. But, and so, we're overestimating what we do. So it's actually worse than this survey suggests. 2.8 days in Lithuania. Well, they probably still have to go out and grab berries and nuts off the trees, don't they? Lithuania. I mean, do they have Asda down the road? Probably not. Our average exercise session lasts 1 hour, 27 minutes. No, it doesn't. Who goes to the gym for 1 hour and 27 minutes? By the 27 minutes, yes. Hour to get there on the tube, perhaps. But you're not exercising for an hour and a half, are you? No one does. Apart from those guys who are there all the time. Like, something, you're going to the gym and they're there and look like they've been there all day.
But that's
and you leave and they're still there. They're, like, always there.
It's so off-putting, though. That's what makes me never want to go, because you just see people who look really fit and healthy all the time. And I don't... It doesn't inspire me. It just makes me feel more slobby.
The figures make slobbish Brits the fifth laziest out of the 25 EU countries, a survey found. Only folk in Italy, Ireland, Estonia and Malta take less exercise. And, you know, I went to Italy a little while ago. Fabulous place. Everyone should go. Didn't see a single fat person there, apart from British tourists. People
drinking
aren't fat.
Beer and stuff
People are not fat in Italy. Isn't that surprising? Because Italy is known for its food, right? It's pasta and it's pizza and it's ice cream and all of that good stuff. They're all thin. Why? Because they cook from scratch. They don't have burger joints over there. Food that's not packed with the amount of fat that you would normally eat over a course of 3 days in a couple of mouthfuls. That's the reason. They've resisted the Americanization of their culture.
And very healthy.
Yeah, they ain't fat. Here are the countries that exercise the most, starting with the most healthy. Lithuania, Spain, Denmark, Hungary, Greece, Netherlands, Slovakia, Germany, Latvia, Poland, Finland, Czech Republic, Cyprus, Belgium, Luxembourg, Slovenia, France, Austria, Sweden, Portugal, and then us. Isn't that embarrassing?
That's sad.
Every single one of those countries is healthier than we are. We're the young, drunken, pregnant, violent, lazy, fat, ignorant, sexually diseased capital of the world. That's us, that is. We're number one. Can you think of a country in existence that least resembles its caricature? Stiff upper lip, jolly old England.
On FM, on DAB, and Albert.
The papers, what an unexpected treat. There won't be anything in them because it's Monday, and journalists don't work on Sundays, so they'll have posted their stories on Saturday and then left, you know, for the bar. And that's why the papers are so relatively thin on a Monday. Plus, bizarrely, nothing happens in the world on a Sunday very much.
Do they ever save up some specials for Monday?
I'm sure they do, yeah. But, I don't know, where are they? Don't you find that the papers on Monday are so thin? There's nothing in them, yeah.
But is that just because Sundays are so huge with all the supplements?
Well, yeah, Sundays are stuffed with things that aren't news.
Motoring.
Yeah, motoring and style. And why do you always go for the motoring section? Because by far the silliest section is the style section, the one aimed at women. You can't say that it isn't. In the Sunday Times, it's just fantastically silly, that section.
Yeah, it's great.
In, out, and what boots you should be wearing, and you must have this coat, and if you don't spend less than £6,000 on a pair of shoes, we don't want to talk to you. It's just daft.
But then again, you love the motoring section, where you have to spend X thousands of pounds on something just to get you from A to B.
I know.
See, that's just silly to me.
Well, I suppose so. right, well, I'll go through the papers in a minute. Let's see what's happened. First, it's Tallulah. Oh, Tallulah.
Hey.
Hey, you.
Hello. You know what? I did invent a word for Mr. Bebakli. He might be even listening. It's called... I titled him the Food Police Officer.
I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
You know Bill Buckley?
Bill Buckley.
Okay. I one day I found in, I said, I want to title you the Food Police Officer, and since then he is the Food Police Officer, because you have to remind people of what to do. Otherwise, they just eat popcorn in the cinema, don't go to the gym or don't do anything. Every now and then they need a wake-up call.
Right, and why would he be the food police officer?
Because he seemed to have a very healthy way of thinking to influence people during the night to tell them what they should do with food, to eat healthy, and, you know, he used to do this for a while, and I thought, he sounds like a police officer, food police officer.
And I think the key is, stop obsessing about food. People just have to stop thinking about food so much. Just stop it. That's what the problem is. All this, oh, if I have a milkshake here, then I can have a jam donut later on. And if I skip lunch, then I can maybe have a cream eclair. And it's just all this buzzing around in your mind with this food, and you're adding up the points, and you're checking out the calories, and adding up the fat content. And just stop it. Just eat when you're hungry. Eat what your body is asking you to eat. Tune your body to the point that you can actually hear it. Well, that's partly exercise, because once you get fitter, bizarrely, your body starts screaming for fruit. It doesn't want a donut anymore. And you almost have to force yourself to eat giant bars of chocolate. But when you're a bucket of lard, then you just pour all this fat down you, because your hearing is muffled by the fat. You can't hear your body anymore. Once you tune it up a bit, then you'll find that it's actually screaming at you for another apple.
But most people haven't got a clue. They actually do not know what is right for them, what the right fuel is for them. And you see it very well on this program with this doctor who comes into your house, goes into your fridge and says, oh, no.
You know what? I think that's a lie. I think everybody does know what's good for them. How could you not? Everyone knows that a chocolate gatto is bad for you.
No, then they see the table with all the bad food that they used to eat. And then they are in front of the table what is good for them, and they get a shock. The shock of a lifetime.
Well, that's just ridiculous. How can you be shocked by things with less sugar and less fat are good for you? Just eat what our ancestors used to eat. Nuts, fruit, meat, fish.
What are you talking about? Huh? How old are you? They see it on television all the time what they shouldn't eat. So they are fueled with wrong messages.
No, this is ridiculous. People aren't that stupid. They know that they aren't. They know they aren't. Stop saying that. They know that a double burger and chips is not good for you, is worse for you than an apple and a banana. But you'd have to be a moron not to know that.
Okay, come on. Where is this phenomenon coming from? Where you see cute little teenagers, yeah, with their boyfriend and going around, and they look really smart and top form, and you don't, then they buy the first house, and suddenly they blow up to below recognition. How come this is happening?
Because the people aren't listening to their bodies, that's why.
Exactly, yes. Exactly, and they're programming their computer, means the body, in the wrong way, and they don't think for themselves. That's why they go to the cinema to buy popcorn, because that's what you are supposed to do.
Also, there is the sexual attraction part. Once you've found your mate, then you're not searching anymore. You're not out on the pull anymore. Hey, Luce. And you don't feel the need to keep yourself young and beautiful anymore, because you've hooked someone. And you don't care what you look like anymore, and you'll walk around, it's like shuffling around the high street in your slippers with food down the front of your nightgown.
And did you know about the phenomena that women force feed their husbands to make them ugly so they don't try off?
Yeah, I read that, yeah. That is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, but I tell you, you know, I used to be a gymnast.
Huh.
And I know what it's like to be in the gym for 3-4 hours every single day, apart from one day, that's called Sunday. And I tell you, it is a drug. Those people who are in the gym all the time are addicted to this stuff called, tell me?
Endorphins.
Exactly, thank you. And it is definitely a drug.
Yeah, I know it is.
Yeah. And that's why people have personal trainers, because to get into gear is just as bad or as difficult as starting to write a book. Once you're in it, it's just flowing. But to start and to have the first kick is pretty difficult.
Correct.
But once you're there, you are very in danger of being hooked.
Yes.
And then it's on the other end.
Well, people get hooked on the chemicals that they manufacture themselves. You don't need to go to a dealer to get hooked on drugs. Yes. We produce drugs in our own bodies that you can get hooked on. Rage, There's another one. I mean, some people throw themselves out of a plane to get that adrenaline high. And other people punch guys in the pub in the face for looking at their bird. It's the same thing. You go out to have a fight at a football match, just like you do your nut if someone cuts you up in the car, just like you go into a boxing ring. You know, all of that stuff is the same, and it's getting hooked on adrenaline. And people will, I mean, I know because I used to do it myself. I used to get absolutely crazed about the tiniest little thing, you know, and until I realised what I was doing.
What did you do?
Well, just ridiculous things. Like, I put a pen down and I couldn't immediately find it again. And I'd just go berserk. Just like a child. It's insane.
What does it have to do with adrenaline?
Because by working myself up into a state of anger, I was actually releasing the adrenaline in my body. And I could see myself do it almost as an out-of-body experience, because there would be the little bit of anger initially, and then my brain would kick in and go, oh, yeah, there it is. Follow that. And so I would ramp up the anger, and I'd find other things to be annoyed about, and suddenly I was stomping around shouting. Not necessarily out loud, but I would internalize it all. I wouldn't be, you know, spitting grief out at everybody else. I'd be growing a tumor in my own brain, not putting it on other people. But still, I was getting, you know, crazed and angry until I realized, whoa, wait a minute, I'm going insane, I thought.
I bet that's when you learn to talk to yourself, because I do this all the time.
No. That's you. That's just crazy, Tallulah. But that is actually something that you can see yourself doing, and you can halt it. You can change your life. If you are, like me, one of these people that seeks out the crazy, the anger, just to get that adrenaline rush, once you realise that that's what you're doing, it's a drug thing, that you're actually hooked on the adrenaline that you're producing in your own brain when you work yourself up into this mess, for whatever reason it is, for whatever excuse you give yourself to work yourself up like that. Once you realise that that's what you're doing, you can step back and change your life for the better immediately. It's incredible how quickly you can turn it around. Because how crazy is it to start stomping around and, you know, making yourself ill, basically, because that's what you're doing, just because you can't find your pen, or just because you can't find where you left your keys, or you ran out of money and you haven't got enough to buy a paper, you know, haven't got any cash, or there's two drops of water running down the window pane, not one. You know, you just make stuff up to be crazy about.
Did somebody point it out to you, or did you realize?
No, I realized it myself. Like I said, it was like an out-of-body experience, and I cancelled myself. And it was really quick. You can stop doing it immediately. If, good grief, it almost is like I'm helping people now. Step aside, Anna. Nick's on the way.
it's like OCD. OCD is, people really know it, but still they do it. And OCD, isn't it? No?
Obsessive compulsive disorder. Yeah. Exactly.
And when you realize, you go back to your cooker and check if the gas is off. Just say, once you checked it once, say, I have done it now, and just don't do it again. And you can actually heal yourself.
Yeah.
With a bit of discipline.
It's because as you grow older, you do get stuck in ruts is an easy term to put, but in modes of behaviour. And you don't even really consider that you can change what you do ordinarily, because you react to certain stimuli and situations in the same way over and over and over again, such that it becomes a part of who you are. And you don't often consider that you don't have to be like that anymore. I mean, some people will go to therapy for 10 years and the therapist will sit there and say things like, and how does that make you feel? You know, they won't give you anything at all. They'll charge you £120 a session, and 10 years later, you'll have been walking around with a black cloud over your head, unable to speak to your parents for why you can't really figure out right now, but there's something there and you don't know what it is. And it's all because You were angry, and you didn't know why. That's why you went to them 10 years previously, and they'll suck all of your money from your wallet and give you practically nothing in return apart from this vague negative feeling of depression that you'll walk around with you, which you think you have to get through to get to the other side. Well, you know what? It's easier than that. Just look at what you're doing and stop it. You can do it. Stop obsessing about food. Stop going crazy at people when they cut you up or bump into you in the... That wasn't me farting, by the way. I'm clasping my hands together. And it just came out like that. Just in case you were wondering. I'm not losing control. I am having an epiphany, but I'm not losing control.
Hello and welcome to...
Have you done you yet, Tallulah?
Well, I think so. I just didn't want to be impolite and just put the phone down.
So, yes, thanks a lot. You've really helped me get that out. It was in me and it had to come out. All right.
Cool.
Cheers, dear. Okay. Ta-ta. Right. The papers. First, let's look at The Guardian.
Boring!
That's not fair, really, is it? It's the wrong shape right enough, but, But it is kind of. Yeah, they've got a wall chart. They're giving away wall charts of animals.
Are they?
Yeah, today it's an entire wall chart of sheep. Who the hell would want that? Why would you want a wall chart of
What different sorts of sheep?
Different sorts of sheep. Why would you want that? What would you do with it?
Does it show the cuts of meat on the sheep? That might be useful.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just meat sheep rather in the clothes that God made for them.
Lovely. That sounds really exciting.
Well, doesn't it?
Is it stickers or just a poster?
Well, there's none in this. Copy of
the paper. Someone pinched it out of the paper.
Well, it must have done, yeah.
But you see, everybody wants it.
It's obviously a very desirable item.
I saw a very exciting gift in a Christmas shop, well, not in a Christmas shop, but in a shop today with all the Christmas stuff out. And you can buy a wall clock with birds on it, and a bird represents each number.
Old.
Really?
They're old, those.
Well, this was brand new.
Have you not seen them before?
No, but I thought, who would want that now? That's just so uncool, isn't it?
Your granny?
They make the noise of the bird each.
What?
Each time.
No, this was like a plastic clock.
You're kidding. What, at every o'clock, it makes
the... When I lived in the States, a couple of my friends had them. Yeah, every different hour, you'd get the sound of that bird going off.
I quite like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm sure this didn't do that. This was literally just one of those cheap plastic clocks.
That's what it looked like. It looked cheap and plastic.
Oh,
but it had a picture of the bird at each time, representing a number, and then you'd hear the song.
Well, you see, The Guardian should get onto that. That'd be something. The piece of paper with sheep on it. Who wants that? They've got a whole list of these. Poultry, pigs, sheep, crops. Crops?
There must be something behind it.
Horses and cattle. They've got no end of this stuff they're giving away.
Are they encouraging us to get out into the country
more? I've got no idea.
Or organic food, or...
But today it's sheep, and tomorrow it's cattle. Can you even wait?
That's
I see you shiver with antici. Let's have one in Basildon. Hello, Lynn.
Hello.
Lynn.
Hello, dear.
How are you?
All right, thank you very much.
What's up?
Well, I was listening to you talking about this anger thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm an older woman. I'm 70. I'm not ashamed to say I'm 70. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't reach that age, do they?
No, well done. You made it. Everyone's still
I'm lucky. I've got there. That's why. I hope I live to see a few more as well.
Of course.
But I still get angry if I lose my glasses or misplace them.
All the time, right?
I don't misplace my keys because I've got a special place to hang them up every time I come in.
Right.
I never mislay my keys. But I do mislay my glasses because I need them for reading.
Are they ever on your head?
No, I never put them on my head. When I get up to answer the door or I get up to get a cup of tea, I take them off. I use the computer quite a lot. I go on the chat rooms and have a laugh.
You do?
Yeah, and I take pictures with my digital camera and I print them off.
I see.
So I do a lot of work like that on Why are you doing that? And I misplace my glasses or I mislay my pen, as you said, a pen. And I say, where do I put them? Oh, for goodness sake, where the...
Slipped there, Lynn.
Start doing me nut, right?
I'm concerned about this. because when I will need reading glasses, as we all eventually will.
That's right.
I know what I'm going to be like because I've seen what my parents are like. Virtually every sentence starts with, where are my glasses?
Yeah.
Because they need one for long distance and
one for reading.
Right? So they're completely blind all the time. Which means that wherever they left their glasses, they can't see them.
That's right. And I have a sort of, a beigey colour suite or two settees with a black design on it, right?
Oh, that's
they're quite nice. If I have the glasses on that,
awful.
The glasses got transparent frames. I can't see them on that.
What about one of those chains that you hang around your neck?
Well, I've got one of those. I didn't get on with them. I don't know why. It's a bit silly, really. I suppose I should. But I am old. I am a grandmother. But I think they make one look a lot older.
Well,
so it's right hanging around my neck.
Can I ask you about your glasses?
Yeah.
Are they gigantically huge?
No.
Is that a yes?
No, that's a no, and I mean no. No, they're just ordinary glasses.
Because old people often tend to have ginormous glasses, like they bought them in the 70s.
Yeah, no. I keep my reading glasses up to date with the optician and get the right lenses, and I'll get nice frames. I'll keep up with the top. My daughter would let me wear those anyway.
Mind you, they're back in fashion now. I went to Italy, and people over there are extreme. Like, I've seen in Italy, it would look ridiculous in this country, but people can carry it off in Italy. People of your age, Lynn, and older, walking around in sunglasses that are so huge, it looks like they've taken their car windscreen and slapped it on their face. I mean, you can barely see their features behind these ginormous frames.
Oh, how ridiculous.
And in this country, you'd just be laughing out loud on the floor, but Italian women can carry it off.
Carry it off, I suppose, yeah. Well, as you just said, that they're slim people out there, but I don't think that's strictly true.
In Italy, I didn't see any fat people at all.
I think the men are slim, but the women are not.
Well, until they get to, like, 100 years old, like these old women who stir buckets of pasta in Sicily, I'm sure, are a bit...
Yeah, well, anyway, but you said you handled your anger, yeah? You stepped outside yourself, so to speak.
Yes.
And take a good look at yourself and change it. Well, I want to do that, and I'm going to try to do that.
If you can think it, you can do it, Lynn.
I have another maddening thing that makes me cross. I've got a puppy German Shepherd.
Yeah.
He's 4 months old now, 4.5 months old, and he still poos indoors.
Oh, nice.
In my kitchen. Overnight.
Lovely.
But he's going outside to do it in the daytime. If I leave the door open, but it's winter coming along and it's getting colder.
Well, he's got a coat.
I know he has, but he won't ask to go out.
Just keep him outside.
I can't keep him outside indefinitely.
Of course you can, dear. Force yourself.
No, he's a house dog, you know, and I want him
only
to be
only if you keep him
indoors.
In the house, he is. No, he's...
I live on my own, and I want him to as company in the house, you know, to guard me, sort of thing, when he's older.
Chain him up in the garden, Lynn.
No, I will not do that. It's wicked. I would not do that. But I do my nutty peas on my kitchen floor, and I shouldn't, because you can't teach a child that way, so why should you teach a dog that way? I have got to calm down.
Starting now.
Starting tomorrow morning.
Yeah, all right, tomorrow, yeah, you're
tomorrow
right.
Tomorrow morning. When I get up and see a puddle on the floor, I should just say, oh, well, never mind, he's only a baby.
Yeah, that's what you'll
just
say.
Just clean it up and then throw the broom across the floor.
That's what I'm expecting, yeah. All right, well, best of luck with that, Lynn.
Nice talking to you, darling.
Ta-ra.
And I'll ring you again sometime.
All right, do that, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Huh. Most of the time I want to, because you'll see, you'll walk down a narrow pathway, an owner, some moron with a dog, has let it do its product right there in the middle of the pathway. And you think, so here they were walking along with their dog on a lead, and they stopped while they'd, and just casually watched their dog do its business in the middle of the pavement, where you know that the next person that comes along won't be, paying close attention, and they will step in it. In it.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yes. What kind of a person would do that?
I don't
get it.
Someone did it right outside our house.
Yeah, well, who are these people? I don't think the dog's nose should be rubbed in it. I think that their nose should be rubbed in it. The owner's.
Yeah.
You should run out with a rubber glove on your hands, loose, and pick it up and smear it on their coat.
Well, sadly, I didn't see them do it. I can't imagine me behaving like that, though, really.
I think that the DNA profile of every dog in the land should be taken, and all dog product on pavement should be analysed. They should analyse it, Lucy, and find out which dog it came from, and the owner should be immediately shot. Is that to an extreme position?
It's quite extreme. I think the trouble is at night time is the worst, especially now the nights are drawing in, and then you can't see where you're going, can you? And poor unfortunate soul will just...
Yeah, being the operative word, soul, yes.
Yeah.
Carry it into you. That's why you should always take your shoes off when you come in
no,
the flat.
Oh, no, don't start that one.
Here's one in Finchley. Hello, David.
Hello there. Is it Nick, isn't it?
Yes.
First of all, I phoned to say, never underestimate stupidity. Second of all, the people are likely to let their job, let people step in it, are likely to say in it. And, that's what I've phoned to say.
Well, what do you mean, never underestimate stupidity?
Never underestimate stupidity.
Well, what does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know,
no one ever lost money by underestimating the stupidity of the general population.
It never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah.
Are you with me now?
Well, what does? What never ceases to amaze you? Be more specific.
Well, you know, idiotic things being done all the time. I mean, you can look at it politically, you can look at it in everyday life. Many things are done, and...
You open the newspaper every day and you're agog. You just can't get your head around how anybody could be so silly, right? Is that more or less what you're saying?
Well, yeah. Check out Ken. You know what I mean?
Check out
Ken. Yeah, you know. Well, how in the world could anyone be so stupid?
Is that what you're saying? Yes,
well,
more or less.
Well, it's the type of stupidity, isn't it?
Well, let's not get into personal attacks about Ken. Whichever Ken it is you're talking about, I think we've all got a fairly good idea.
£50,000. 90973.
Well, I'm looking at the papers. I looked through a lot of them. There's really nothing in them, by which I mean at all. Save your money today, ladies and gentlemen, because, go buy a book.
Not even any David Guest shenanigans.
That's the only thing I can come up with that would be remotely interesting at this time of night. All the rest of it is boring.
Really? Everything?
They're ramping up this David Guest. Sharon Osbourne was supposedly happy. A little too happy for comfort on the X Factor. That's what they said.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, another one of those PR stories about the X Factor. And whoever's doing the X Factor must, I guess, also be doing the...
I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah. I bet it's the same company.
They've got to hype it up now because it's just about to start, so they want to get everyone into it, don't they?
All right, we'll get into that in a minute. First in, one in Stamford Hill. Howard.
Hi.
Hey, Howard.
Yeah, I was telling the lady about the funniest mugging I ever come across. I know an old man was walking his dog, and this guy comes around, runs across, grabs a bag, and runs away. So I stopped to ask the old man, are you all right? He says, okay. I said, shall I go after him? He said, no, don't bother. I said, why is that? He said, every time my dog makes a mess, I pick it up and I put it in the bag. So he walked away, he ran away with the bag full of mess. Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. All right, thanks, Howard.
Okay, you're welcome.
Ta-da. Here is Barnsley. Oh, Louise.
Hi, Nick.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right.
Yes. You were talking about the food earlier on.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, it's easier just to put something in the microwave than it is to cook from scratch. Or, if you're working, it's just quicker just to make you or your kids something out of the microwave or go to fast food restaurants.
Yeah, of course it is, but it's also easier just to sit there and eat crisps and watch TV.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is.
I mean, when you go to the gym, it's easier to stop at the cafe and have a donut and not do any exercise at all. Much easier, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's what it is with us, though. We're real busy, I think, most people, with jobs and everything. So,
yeah, well, you know what? They've got jobs in Italy, and they cook from scratch. They've got jobs in France, and they cook from scratch. Every country that hasn't been that hasn't embraced the burger cooks from scratch. Of all the chill cook meals that are made in Europe, I think it's, the statistic is, I can't remember the exact figure, so I'll just pull one from space. 60% of the food in boxes with instructions on the back that are sold in Europe are bought in this country. It's something like that. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
But that surprises me. 60% in Europe we eat in this country. We just... And we're obsessed with food cookery programmes. Heston Blumenek, he's the latest one on BBC Two. He takes 6 weeks to make lunch. And everybody's looking at this and writing down, oh, yes, we want to infuse the water with toast in order to further flavour the sausages that we're not going to make. And, you know, they're mentally making all this, all these notes and, you know, treacle tart that... takes 120 different stages to get it to its perfect state of loveliness, and then we go and go straight to McDonald's or have Kentucky Fried Chicken deliver one over.
Yeah, I think the thing is with us, if there's an easy way to do things and a lazy way to do things, I think that's what most people are like. They'll take the easy and lazy way.
But you know what? Cooking from scratch isn't that hard. I mean, unless you're doing it for yourself. Mm. I really can't be bothered just to cook. If it's just me, I'll just have pasta or something that takes 3 minutes, because that's just food for me, right? It's just fuel. Like, I won't sit there and enjoy it, because I'll just be watching TV at the time. So it's just because I'm hungry, I need to eat, right? And I can't eat. Well, you can't have an entire diet of Jaffa cakes, really. It's not good for you. So just anything that's quick. But those meals that you buy in boxes, stop buying those, people. They're unless they're advertising with us, in which case everyone should eat one a day.
They're horrible as well. Well, my mum works, so it's like she cooks like 3 times a week. But when she doesn't, we have to settle for them, and they're horrible.
You're living with your mum?
Yeah.
Get out of the house, Louise.
I'm 19, I'm at uni, I can't afford to.
You chose a university that was so near to your parents' house that you could stay at home.
Yeah.
That was a big mistake. Do you realise your mistake now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's saving me money. I mean, it's like $2,000 a year for university fees and that. I mean, at least I don't have to pay for my living fees yet.
Yeah, but it's not living, Louise. That's the big problem. It's that when you're living at home, you're not living. It's just an existence. Especially at, you know, at your age. When you're 12, you haven't got much choice. When you're 16, precious little. But 19, you're going to university and everyone around you is living out, right?
No, actually, they're not. They're all living in Rotherham and Leeds and commuting over here.
What, with their parents they're living?
No. Well, some of them are, actually, yeah. One's 21, a few of her parents.
Right, but like I said, most of them are living out of their parental home.
Yeah.
And so you're mixing with those people who will, after classes or before, I would guess, because you're doing media studies, so you don't have to concentrate too hard, they go to the bar and they get drunk. Now, you can't do that because you have to go and face your mother.
Oh, I can, though. My mum and dad are actually all right. As long as I don't wake them up. I can come in at whatever time I want. I mean, I went out on Friday and I came back at 2 o'clock and was sick everywhere. But, and they didn't mind because they cleaned up and...
They don't mind. You came home at 2 o'clock and you were sick everywhere and they don't mind.
Yeah. My mum just said, did you have too much drink last night? I went, yeah.
Believe me, Louise, they mind.
she didn't like to tell me off on anything, which I was quite shocked about.
Cleaning up someone else's sick. Do you...
I did it myself.
Right.
I cleaned it myself, so she was like okay with it.
What, you threw up and then you cleaned it up, or did it, you waited till the next morning?
No, I had still wanted.
Right. So when they got up, it was to the smell of the inside of your stomach, and they don't mind. Right.
I was here to love a picture of myself, you know.
You've got to get out of the house, Louise. And once you leave, you can't go back. Because that's the thing with parents. No matter how old you are, to them, you're still 12.
Yeah. I mean, I moved out for a month when I went down south, and it was really good.
And then you went back.
Yeah.
Right, you can't go back. Because once you've tasted freedom, then the restrictions of living at home with the parentals, it's you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Am I right? It's just much worse. Now you've tasted freedom, the cell you've constructed for yourself there is getting smaller and smaller, right?
Yeah.
Especially at the time of your life, Louise, you need to go out and experience things.
I do.
And bring them back. But you can't do that, right?
Right.
Because that would be awfully embarrassing. They would mind that, believe me.
Oh, if I could afford to move out, I would. So,
unfortunately, if you wait until you can afford to move out, you'll never move out. You have to move out when you can't afford it. Just do it straight away. Do it right now. Drop the phone and leave immediately. Don't even put a coat on. Think about it. All right.
I will do.
Ta-ta.
Okay. Bye.
Here is Hackney, Tokes.
Hi, Nick.
How are you?
I'm all right, so things are getting better, so...
Oh, good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, you seem happy.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you know, things could be worse, but they're not, so going to bang on with it, sort of.
Yeah, still, it's early yet. Beginning of the week.
Beginning of the week, exactly.
Anything could happen.
I'm hoping a lot of things happen this week, but we'll see. Just wanted to say, you know, I do think that a lot of people are getting lazier and lazier these days. And in line with what you said earlier on about the meals and that, I think, you know, the food industry or the service industry, whatever you want to call them, they're making a killing from people's inadequacy to do things for themselves.
It's almost as though, as a nation, we've lost the ability to say no. We can't say no to our kids. We let them run around and do whatever they like, with the consequence that everyone's running around and stabbing each other because no one has, because everyone's grown up in a life of no consequence. So they're just going insane because no one has ever restricted their behaviour, because parents don't do that anymore. No one can say no to the food companies advertising crisps. Oh, I saw it on TV, so I'm going to sit here and eat till I explode because I can't say no.
Well, at the end of the day, it depends on what kind of a parent you are. I'd like to believe I'm the kind of parent that can say no to my child, and to hell with the so-called political correctness, because, do you know what I mean? I'm the one who's paying for my child's welfare from, you know, from a baby to, well, to adolescence. And I do feel that, you know, you're right there, and that people just don't seem to have the ability to say no. All you've got to do is just walk down the aisle of a supermarket and see how kids are screaming the place down just because their mums are not, or refusing to get them sweets or whatever. You know,
and that didn't used to be the case either. We didn't used to be fat, we didn't used to be lazy, and we didn't used to be pregnant at 12, and we didn't used to be, we'd have sexual diseases, and we didn't used to... be the drug capital of the whole wide world. In the 50s, which was, you know, I keep saying the 50s, but, you know, the 60s have this sort of drug cloud hanging over them. Mm-hmm. So the 50s, when things were really grim in this country, everything was in black and white and utterly depressing, everyone was relatively fit. Am I right? That's when you see right, pictures of people in the 50s, and they were all wearing hats, but they weren't fat.
That's another thing you pointed out there. I mean, in the 50s, I mean, even the dress code. You know, you look around today, Nick, and how often do you see people wearing a dress, women wearing a dress in your office? You know what I mean? Or men wearing something casual, but wearing a jacket or a blazer sort of thing with a tie. You know, you look at all those films from the 30s, 40s, even the 50s, and men used to dress like men. But now, you know, you can't distinguish between... You know, a riffraff and an idiot these days. You know what I mean? You know, I'm as guilty as the next man. I'm not going to sort of like come on air and like start, you know, flagging people off. But no, I mean, you know, doesn't seem to be a dress code. And I think we've lost all self-respect these days. You know what I mean? People don't dress right. They don't eat right. They don't even act right. You know what I'm saying? And it's just really sad that, you know, society as a whole is just generating into this disgusting mess where I feel you're laughing at it. I just feel that, you know, we've imported so much rubbish from the United States. If you want to go there, I'd go there. I'm not stressed about it. And, you know, we're not Americans. We never will be Americans.
But you know what? We cannot blame... One of the things that we do is blame anything that we do on someone else, and one of the ways that we're not going to deal with the problem. If every time we think, oh well, it's America's fault for giving us all of these burgers. No, it's not. We're the ones that are eating them. Italy is just as open to.
Foreign food.
Yes, exactly. Just as open to foreign food as we are, but they've rejected it. We didn't. We embraced it. We love it. We can't get enough of it. And it's not America's fault. It's our fault.
But I think that's got a lot to do with the whole family setup. We used to be a country where the whole family setup, it didn't matter, you know, what your background was. You know what I mean? You know, the whole family setup has just disintegrated. And that, I feel, has got a lot to do with, you know, how people live today. Do you know what I mean? There isn't that sort of, like, stable, you know, family background or whatever for people to fall back on anymore. It's all gone. And, you know, as I say, it gives rise to convenience. It's got to be what's convenient for me now, to tie in with my job, to tie in with my unemployment, whatever. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know who's going to bail the cat, but someone's got to do something.
All right, I'll take that job, shall I?
You're doing a good job at the moment.
All right, thanks. Thanks a lot, Tokes.
Cheers, Nick.
Ta-da. Yeah, we've become almost teenage-like as a country, haven't we? We're like a stroppy teenager that wants fulfilment and enjoyment right now, and we don't want to have to work for it, and we don't want to have to stop when we're full, and we just and if we don't get what we want, then we'll throw a gigantic strop and we'll stab someone. We've just become weird. It's like, who are we in anyway? I don't really recognise us as a country. It's like I said a little while ago. Can you think of a place that least resembles its national identity? Because other people will think British. Oh, right. Sexually constipated. Very stiff upper lip. Quite retiring and proper and polite and all of those things. And we properly aren't any of those things.
That's true, actually. We're not at all.
It's actually shocking what we've become as a country.
The only thing we still do is queue.
Yes.
Nicely. Quite nicely.
And this isn't just, you know, self-loathing. This is in response to survey after survey, and we've had a lot of them, and we come out pretty much worse than any other country in Europe in every factor that you can think of. We take more drugs. It's really weird. You go to Amsterdam, for instance. People are selling dope in coffee shops. You can buy any kind of drug that's ever been invented, and they take less drugs than we do. This country, where it's all illegal, and you will be arrested, and they will send you to jail, and you'll be, you know, marched away in handcuffs if you even think about listening to Pink Floyd. Over there, they're giving it away free with a coffee and a biscuit. And they don't do it over there. We do it here. We can't get enough of it. Whatever it is, if we find it on the floor, we'll eat it. It's true.
No.
We're wandering around clubs looking for, you know, anything that someone's dropped. We'll stuff it in our face. We don't care what it is. We're insane in this country. And I think it might be because we're told you can't do this and you can't do that and don't go out and don't do that and you can't dance and you can't have fun. And we've become like your archetypal teenager who's told he can't go out. What's the thing that he most wants to do when he's told he can't go out? Go out.
Yes, that's true.
And so we've become that stroppy kid in response to the question, where are you going, slams the door saying, out. Weird, isn't it?
It is very odd. Very strange behaviour.
Successive governments have tried to screw us down in order to stop us doing all the things that we actually really want to do, with the net result that we do it more than we would have done if they'd just let us go ahead and do it anyway.
But maybe we should all be a bit more grown up and realise why certain things are being stopped, you know, rather than digging our heels in and being petulant.
But that's my point. In countries that allow you more freedom to do what you want, they don't get the reaction of us running, screaming to whatever it is they're trying to proscribe.
But then again, with children, you're not allowed to tell them off, and they behave even worse. So then it goes the other way.
Yeah, I guess that in the context of a society that is as out of control as ours is, that has such a lack of respect for everybody else apart from you and your immediate desires, then, yeah, we're not starting from a good standpoint.
Yeah.
For instance, like underage sex in Amsterdam, in Holland, where sex is freely discussed, you know, there'll be a sex shop right next to the your butcher store with all sorts of weirdness in the windows, and people walk by like it's not even there. They're not really interested because sex isn't a big deal over there.
Yeah.
Here, people, I mean, just look at our newspapers. We're still like 13-year-old boys in this country sniggering behind our hands because people are having lusty, bonking romps. I mean, the way that the papers describe sex, it's 13-year-old stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Saucy love nests and all of that kind of childish. That's how we think about sex in this country. Whereas in Holland, in more enlightened countries, it's not a big deal.
Fast, no.
Everyone just discusses it without lapsing into giggles because it's just, you know, it's like discussing what you eat. It's
Do
just
they have it in
it's
their
just an aspect of life. I really don't know. I don't speak Dutch. Who does? It's an impossible language. I'm amazed the Dutch can do it.
I wonder if they do, though, if they're titillated by it, you know, in that if it's
It doesn't seem to be, because over there, it's, like, apart from anything else, it's socially unacceptable to act in that way, to have sex when you're and get pregnant when you're 13, to wander around the street when you're stoned out your mind, to, you know, stab people because they looked at you wrong. It's, all of those things are unacceptable to society over there, so they do them less. Here, they're badges of hardness. And they accord you respect from your peers. That's the big difference.
Hmm.
We revel in it, and we think that it makes us bigger and tougher and harder, and it's cool to be stupid, basically. Whereas in other countries, it's not. Really weird that we would have come to that from that sort of
yeah.
Black and white period of the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, when we were the complete opposite.
Yeah. Hopefully there's a cut-off age, though, when people finally do grow up and say, right, now I'll stop being so silly. Do you think?
Like 100, when you can't manage it anymore.
I don't know. I mean, surely when people are getting to their 30s, they don't want to behave so stupidly anymore, do they?
Well, I don't think that there's an age when people stop wanting to
fighting the system.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Not just fighting the system. It's almost like we're fighting ourselves.
Yeah. But it doesn't make
actually,
life any easier.
We're actually self-destructing as a society. We're we're all committing suicide here. Slowly, pretty much. If we were in a boat, we'd be all digging little holes in it, and we're taking on water. This is not a happy show. What the hell's happened to this show?
Oh, you wanted to talk about it, and so did everyone else.
It's just a thought. Right, we've got 8 minutes left. Let's try and cheer ourselves up, shall we?
If you run a small business or a self-employed...
Let's get back to it.
Hello, Kathleen.
Good morning, Nick. It's a pleasure. I've never spoken to you before.
No, you haven't.
I have not. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Always listen to you, though.
Oh, right.
I would like to say...
You're a lurker.
people don't cook today.
No, they don't. They like to watch people cook on TV, but they don't actually do it themselves, no.
No, but then I don't always want to watch what they cook on TV, neither. And I've never tasted a burger. I have never tasted a can of Coke in my life. I never walk around eating food like you see so many people do today. That is why they are so fat. Because in my day, all we had was a fish and chip shop. And all you had was a bag of chips, if you was lucky.
Well, now, people walk around eating chips.
Yes, I never eat anything that I don't cook, and that is the truth. I only eat what I cook. I never buy nothing out of a box. And if you go in the supermarket, which I do, and you look in a person's trolley and look at the boxes that they've got in there, they are the fattest of people.
People who buy food in boxes?
Yes, they are.
That's right.
They are the fattest of people.
You know what? The only thing in a supermarket that has two aisles all to itself? Can you think of the one product in a supermarket that has two aisles all to itself? At least the one that I go to does.
Well, most of them are all these container boxes.
No, it's crisps.
Oh, and crisps, yeah, but yes, crisps.
Crisps is the only product in the supermarket that actually has two whole aisles itself. Crisps!
Well, I used to eat a bag of crisps. I've given up crisps at all now. I do like a Pringle. I do like a Pringle.
Well, you have to, don't you? You've got to force yourself. Lovely.
But I only eat when I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I never eat any other time, only when I'm hungry.
Like a dog.
Exactly.
Dogs don't get fat if they're left to their own devices. They only eat when they're hungry and they stop when they're full, yeah.
And I have stayed the same weight. And I'm not young, as you may guess.
I'm amazed you haven't told us how old you are, because ladies of a certain age, they always start the conversation with, I'm 86.
Well, if you want to know, I'll tell you.
No, I don't. It's impertinent of me to even ask, Kathleen.
Yes.
None of my business.
If people only ate when they was hungry, that is the only way I do it. And I've always done it. And I've stayed the same weight, and I consider I'm fairly fit.
And it's made you the sharp tack that you are today.
Well, am I sharp? I've got a very good memory.
Well, you're doing better than I am.
I've got a very good memory.
Got no memory at all. I'm actually concerned about that, because I don't have any memory at all. And you know, I'm not 90 yet. What am I going to be like then? I'll just forget everything. I'll be just dribbling in a chair with a rug over my knees, and people will have to be wheeling me to the table.
Do you smoke?
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh, that's one my bad habit I did have, because I smoked during the war years. That's what started me smoking.
Because, you know, why try to be healthy during the war years, right?
And I gave it up 6 years ago.
People used to think that was actually a healthy thing to do. Didn't they advertise it as a healthful product?
They encouraged the poor soldiers to smoke.
Yeah, that's right.
They did. They encouraged them to smoke. But I packed it up 6 years ago.
And how hard was that?
It wasn't hard at all.
You just thought it up and did it, right?
I wasn't very well in my daughters. I came home and I had 18 cigarettes in a packet. And I was not very well. 3 weeks I must have had a virus. And the third week I said to myself, oh, I could just do with a cigarette now. Something in my brain said to me, and I don't know what it was, you've gone 3 weeks without it. You have one today, you'll have another one tomorrow. And believe me, Nick, as true as I'm sitting here, I've still got those old 18 in the packet.
You've put them by for a rainy day.
I've got them all up. I wouldn't touch them. They'd kill me now. I've never tasted one since.
Do you take a peek every now and again?
No, not at all.
Do you like to, because part of the thing with a cigarette is just the thing of it, you know, pulling it out and opening a fresh pack and pulling it out and, running it through your fingers.
I've just kept the date on the back of the packet the day I packed up.
Huh.
And that's 6 years ago in this December.
Well, you're an inspiration to us all, Kathleen.
Right, but...
And keep on keeping on. Will you do that for me?
I will. Everything is good in small doses.
Everything's,
moderation.
I guess so, yeah. Yes. Apart from the things you want a lot of.
My daughter said to me, because she came back from Vegas last year, and she said, Mum, if we took you over there, they'd think you was dying.
I don't know what that means.
Because I'm slim and they're so big.
Oh, right. That's not very nice.
That'd be nice. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, Nick.
And you, Kathleen.
Thank you very much. I'll ring again when I've got something sensible to talk about.
Yeah, all right. I'll look forward to that.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, dear. Bye. What a nice lady. Well, that's a positive note to end on.
Yes, it is.
She's fit and sharp, and she don't smoke no more, and I don't know how old she was, but she was smarter and more together than I am.
And fit as a fiddle.
Just listen to me. Maybe I should start cigarettes just so I can give them up. It would do me the world of good.
Have you ever smoked?
Only as a child in the back of a bus in order to, again, look hard with the lads. Exactly. But it always felt like I was pouring bleach down my throat. I never enjoyed it, fortunately.
Horrible.
A pack of 10 number 6, please, mister. We used to buy them in singles. And they used to sell them to us as well.
Seriously?
Awful, yeah.
Oh.
But, no, that was one thing I never really enjoyed. And I've always been quite pleased about that.
Yeah,
there's other things. Oh, boy, could I tell you stories. Bill Buckley's next.